Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Joe Biden just delivered remarks on the tragedies that hit this country in the past couple of weeks. And he, I'm just going to come out and be a little bold on it. He basically called for banning guns. He said banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Their definition of assault weapon and high-capacity magazine includes, like, your standard Glock. He also said he wants to end the 72-hour release period for background checks and expand background checks to private sales, which would, in my opinion, for the most part, lead to outright banning of all guns. If you don't know a lot about this, you might just hear what he said and be like, that sounds reasonable. You know, he goes, if you, after 72 hours, whether the background check's done or not, you get the gun. Yes, that's because otherwise the government has the right to just not give you the gun, which is a violation of the Second Amendment. If they get rid of that, the FBI can just look at your background check form and say, I'll get to it when I get to it. And then 2 years goes by and they're like, sorry, we never completed your background check. I can only imagine that would result in lawsuits. We'd probably win those lawsuits. But I'm watching this speech from Biden and it was just infuriating because this man is lying through his teeth. Blair White corrected me when I tweeted that saying dentures.
Oh, thank you, Blair. Okay, yeah.
I'm pissed off. So we have this story. We also have another story, which is interesting. And the source is interesting, too. It's a survey, a study done by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which I don't trust, but found that the largest demographic, or I should say that the one demographic that's overtly supportive of revolution and political assassinations are young Democrat men. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, I didn't think that the Southern Poverty Law Center would want to malign their own target audience. So maybe this survey is legit, but I'd say this, take it with a grain of salt. You know, these nonprofits, they're trying to shock you and scare you so that you give them money. Like, here's the problem. Look what's happening. But they found that around half of this country fears a civil war is coming. More so among Republicans, less so among Democrats. But young Democrat men, I believe, were the only demographic that the majority, or I should say the plurality, supported political assassinations. That's crazy. There's a large amount of support for revolution and political violence. And then here's another thing that also comes out of this, which is it's kind of a different story, but it's the same survey. Young men don't like feminism. Mm. Young Democrat men, young Republican women all said feminism has done more harm than good. So we'll talk about that too. Joining us to talk about all this is Tyler Fisher.
Hey.
Who are you, good sir?
Who am I? That's a good question, man. I don't know. I went through a breakup last night, speaking of feminism, so I discovered myself on a 6-hour car ride from Brooklyn, New York.
Who am I?
Well, I'm a comedian, I'm an actor, I'm a content creator, and I'm trying to navigate this new fun cancel culture situation.
You're in a movie?
I'm in a movie, yeah, thanks to Daily Wire.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be in Terror on the Prairie, which comes out June 14th on the Daily Wire.
Cool.
With Gina Carano.
Absolutely.
And
excellent.
Yeah, incredible.
Awesome, man.
All from the internet.
Yes,
thank you.
This should be fun. Thanks for hanging out. We also got Chris Carr.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me back.
Yes.
Awesome.
Who are you?
I am the executive editor. Almost said executive director, but that's an overstatement.
Close.
Executive editor of the newsroom at timcast.com.
Right on.
Doing great work.
What are you?
I'm still figuring that out. I'm right there with you, Tyler.
You a he, him?
My gosh, yeah, man.
She, then?
Still a he, him.
A-hoo-ha?
If you can't figure that out, then just take your best guess. Yeah, okay. You know?
Something that Biden said also when we were listening before is that the gun industry needs to be stripped of their immunity, that they're the only industry in America that has immunity. Mm. And it's like he's the second time he said it on his campaign speech / State of the Union, whatever you want to call it. He said that it also, and he's leaving out the pharmaceutical companies that have immunity from damages
he's
from like
lying.
Vaccine. You know, just straight up lie. Straight up lie.
Was he joking?
It was a joke. That's
a,
what
no,
it was.
No, not a joke, man. Not a joke.
I'm serious, man.
Were you guys watching the sign language person? You can't have such a high energy sign person next to him. He just looks deader.
It's bad.
Deader.
He's a bad dude.
He is, yeah.
His son lied on a background check form to get a gun. And then it got disposed of in a dumpster, which is just so illegal next to a school. Okay, Joe. Anyway, Lydia's here, too.
Yes, I was watching Joe Biden's remarks as well. Which way do I need to scoot? Here, there we go. And I was noticing that he's trying to turn gun rights into a voting issue. I think he realizes that this is all he has, so I'm curious how this works out for him.
He'll do anything, considering gas just hit a new record of $4.71, if you want to round up, 72. So, yeah, he's desperate. Also, don't forget, head over to TimCast.com, become a member to help support our work directly. As a member, you'll get access to exclusive segments from the TimCast IRL podcast. We will have one of those up for you tonight at 11 p.m. They're Monday through Thursday. And you'll be supporting our journalists, people like Chris, who's sitting over there.
Exactly. Yes. Who is, keep it up.
Yes. He works because you guys believe in the work we do. So don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's talk about this first story. Joe Biden just addressed gun violence, and I'm really pissed off, guys. Biden calls for ban on assault weapons and new red flag laws. The president said the measures were not about taking away anyone's guns. He also acknowledged that Congress might not come to a consensus, even as the nation grieves the victims of several mass shootings. Okay, let me just say this. I hope you fail, Joe Biden. I hope you fail because you are a liar. You are manipulating people. And to anybody who liked what Joe Biden had to say, I ask you a simple question. What is an assault weapon? What was he talking about banning?
Bayonets?
That's if you, Matt Walsh's next documentary, What
yeah,
Is.
What is
that's
assault
actually
weapon?
A good idea.
Good idea.
No, that's
yeah.
not. We're doing that
great
one.
Idea.
Okay.
What is doing like, nobody knows what it is. Okay. What is a woman? Nobody knows. And this segment is brought to you by Assault Rifle.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
10% off.
That was dead on, though. That was really good.
I mean, if they do, what is an assault weapon? That actually is a really good idea because they don't have a definition. And this is what really bothers me is when he lies. The closest approximation is assault rifle. Assault rifles haven't been, you can't manufacture, I could be wrong about all this, but I'm pretty sure you can't manufacture them after 1986 for civilian use. In order for a civilian to buy one, it's got to be pre-1986. And it takes you about a year to get because you've got to get tax stamp, fingerprint, you've got to file, it's through the NFA, so you got to file ATF forms. I can't do it. I'll tell you why. I am too busy. So the amount of work required to actually jump through the hoops to get an NFA item, an NFA regulated item, National Firearms Act, is just prohibitive for even someone like me, unless I wanted to take time off work so I can go down to the sheriff's department, get my fingerprints and all that. I'll tell you what the craziest thing is. First of all, red flag laws are insane. And this, I gotta give a shout out to Maj Toure and Black Guns Matter. When he says all gun control is racist.
That's right.
What do you think these police will do with red flag laws? With a red flag law, it doesn't matter if you even have a gun. It gives them powers to violate your Fourth Amendment rights. They will come to your house and say, we're searching a warrant on a red flag. And the guy's going to be like, but I don't have a gun. Well, we don't know that for sure. Don't give the police these powers. But more importantly, what really triggered me, I was triggered.
Well said.
I was reeing and I was...
It was pretty bad.
Swinging my arms. Get this gun control off my country!
It's really bad.
When he said he wanted to end the 72-hour release for background checks. For those that don't know, if you want to buy a gun, you have to get a background check.
I do. Let me just write this down.
Write this down.
I live in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, you can't get one.
Oh, forget it.
The response time is 72 hours for police. So
oh, gosh.
Oh, right.
It's the same as the...
Well, you can't get one anyway. Flag. So now they want to ban body armor. Check it out. You go to the store, you walk up, and you say, I'd like to purchase this weapon. Why? For my own personal reasons, to defend my home, for sport, or to protect this country from enemies both foreign and domestic, whatever it is your fancy, right? It's your right. You gotta fill out a NICS form. It's not that big a deal to fill out the form. Then they submit it, and you have to wait. They're running a background check. The first time I bought a gun, they told me, you are delayed and you will have to come back. We'll let you know when you're cleared. 72 hours later, I got a phone call saying, you are now cleared. I went in and I was able to pick up the weapon. Turns out they never actually did the background check. My understanding is that it went long, and so my rights as an American citizen under the Second Amendment, I get to take the weapon. If they get rid of that restriction on the government, you're going to have federal agents. They're going to say, you know, we just don't like this James O'Keefe guy. We'll do his background check when we get time. And then 3 months goes by, and you're like, where's my background check? And they're like, we're working on it. That's what Joe Biden wants to get rid of. That would give the government the ability to effectively ban all guns at a whim, whenever they so decide. And of course, they'll give you every excuse. They'll say, you know, we're just backlogged and so understaffed. Sorry. You know what they did with marijuana back in the day? What they did was you needed a tax stamp if you wanted to buy it. Then they stopped issuing stamps, effectively making it illegal, bypassing people's constitutional rights. This is what they will do. Joe Biden wants universal background checks on all sales, including private sales, which means you can't even transfer a weapon to a family member. If you're, say you're Jim Bob and Billie Jean out in the mountains of West Virginia, and you're like, I'd like to transfer this weapon to you because I'm leaving and we got critters and bears or whatever. Can't do it. Got to drive to an FFL and you got to fill out the background check form. And then oopsie, the feds have decided they're just not going to do it. That's how they ban guns. So no, Joe Biden, screw you, you're a liar.
Is he more serious when he's screaming or whispering? Can you guys tell the difference?
I don't know.
Screaming.
Do you notice he'll start with the yell and then he'll end with the whisper? Hey, where are you guys? Because your ass is down. Great. He's doing that ET. He always gets real low at the end of it. We're not, come on, Jack. Yeah,
joke. That begging sound. He begs. Yeah, he got it from Obama. And so does Beto O'Rourke. He does Obama.
It's like Owen Wilson is training him. I mean, come on. I mean, we're not doing the gun thing. Owen's a bad dude.
He has to get real low with it.
Wow, I'm not doing it.
I think it's actually the reason he whispers is because when he loses where he's going and he can't think, it gives him a justification for why he pauses.
Yeah.
So he'll be like, you know, we got to ban the guns. Like, it's like, well, I was going to say, oh, I got it. And then he says something low, so it's like the pause was supposed to be drama as opposed. It was dramatic instead of just sad.
He can't emphatically say what he's saying because he's reading it and he doesn't really believe it or really understand it. So then he appeals to tone. He'll try and do a begging tone like this.
Yeah.
Because he thinks maybe the tone will get them. Because Obama did that. He used to do that a lot. It was really insidious.
But Obama was a better actor. You can probably speak to this point. Like, when Biden speaks, it's just like, wow, he's an awful actor. And he has no grounding in principles or morals or
terrible
any ethics.
Actor.
Yeah. But he can't muster up the delivery.
Yeah. He has no delivery.
Like Obama could. Obama could muster up the delivery.
As a white guy, I can't do an impression of a complete idiot. Yeah. So,
yes, we would discourage that.
We can't do the Obama one. Can't do Eric Adams either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Joe Biden, whenever he gets mad, it's so obviously performative. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, bro, I can tell you're not really indignant.
Man or Jack, either one.
Jack.
Man or Jack.
Jack.
It's like the fakest. It's, you're phoning it in, dude.
Yeah, he throws his hands up a lot.
Remember when he got mad at that that guy who was a union worker who was like, you're trying to ban my guns. And then he got really angry at him, started yelling at him.
He punched the guy. He'll let go up and
he tried to like jab him.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's a bad guy.
Not nice.
He's a bad guy who hangs out with some bad boys.
That's right.
He's a mean fella.
Wow.
He's so unremarkable, too.
I didn't
Somebody asked me recently, they were just like, what would you ask Joe Biden if you could interview him? And as a journalist, I really pondered on that. I was just like, man, what would I ask Joe Biden? I really couldn't muster up a good, meaningful question because I feel like his record is so unremarkable and so uninteresting that I feel like I would just be better off trolling him at this point in his life, even though that might be considered a little bit mean.
I'd never heard of him until he ran against Obama, and I was like, this is the establishment character they're using to run against Obama. Go. More than Hillary. I was like, who is this weird old dude?
That was
then I found out he was a plagiarist from the 80s and had to resign from this presidential run, basically, in 88.
About that.
The idea with Biden was, will America elect a younger black man? So they were like, let's get an older white dude and put him together so we can try and maximize our potential. And then it's funny because McCain went with Sarah Palin, right? They were like, let's try a woman. And it was just like, yo, get the pandering out of there. Yeah. It's not helping. Mm-hmm. Although I think Sarah Palin was way better than McCain was.
Oh, definitely.
So
easily.
She definitely helped his campaign for whatever it was. But he loses anyway.
McCain kept saying, my friend. He'd keep calling people my friend all of a sudden as soon as he started campaigning. I was like, these aren't your friends, dude.
He's like, my friend,
you
know,
they really like you.
You got to blow up a bunch of people in the Middle East. And I was just like, I don't want to vote for that guy. Okay. And then Obama was like, I'm going to end the wars. And I was like, I'll vote for that
That's
guy.
That's a good Obama.
Yeah. But then as soon as he did, he was like, I'm going to blow up these kids. So, like, I am president, and I blew up kids.
That's you can't you steal. You're stealing that impression from a black person. You're taking somebody's job. You can't do that, Tim.
Yeah, come on, Tim.
Well,
come on,
actually, man. Hold on. I'm mixed race, and mixed race is the smallest minority in the country. So I'm actually the most oppressed. So
oh, I'm sorry, man.
You're right. You're gonna write down. Make sure you take note of that. Mm-hmm.
I love how they're listing the. You know, it's like the first openly gay. Black press. They don't do that for any of the crappy jobs, right? They're like the first genderqueer, ambiguous, you know, ambidextrous janitor. No one gives a crap about any of the mundane jobs at the White House.
It'd be great if they were could like mop with two hands at once.
That'd be great. Yeah, really useful.
That's why. Yeah,
truly. Great. I am the best at what I do.
That's super useful.
You know, and to be fair. It's probably because they're already a bunch of trans, abled, you know, demi janitors or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's a fair point to be like, we got to respect the trades. And our society just literally doesn't do it. So if they did come out, I'd actually respect it more if they were like, our school hired the first gay janitor. I'd be like, oh, all right. But when they're like this high-ranking.
Keep an eye on them. But,
when they come out and they're like this high, you know, they say like, this is the first official or whatever, and then they ignore the Republican ones. Right. It's like, wasn't like the first Republican member of, a black member of Congress like in the 1800s? And for the Democrats, it was like 1992 or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought when Tulsi Gabbard was running for president, in this last cycle, and they were like, well, we can't cast her as the role because we need a woman of color. I was like, okay, she is a woman of color. The shark has jumped. Like we just lost it.
The shark has jumped.
Yes, the shark has jumped.
Everybody remembers when the shark jumped over the fence.
That's right.
It was happy days.
That's when the show's gone too far. It's lost the plot. It's gone. Like
right.
If you wanted a woman of color, you had a woman of color. You pretended like she wasn't a woman of color because you want an authoritarian, and is what you're saying. Right. And you just want to use the color as an obfuscation.
Not enough color.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. They're like. You know, we need more representation from marginalized voices. And then Candace Owens is like, I'm going to do a popular show. And they go, not you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're out. No, you're a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. Or Larry Elder. It's just like. Mm-hmm. No, it's funny because they throw all these racial slurs at, you know, like Candace Owens or Larry Elder calling. I'm not going to repeat the words they use. But they'll call them like the token or whatever that Republicans will rely on.
Right.
And then literally all they do is that they bring about these marginalized voices who just repeat their own opinions for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because you can actually have like Candace Owens argue with someone, but then you'll have these like diversity candidates for these public jobs just espousing mainstream opinions as if they're being puppeted by these corporations. That's them doing exactly what they're claiming the right is doing. Projection is, you know what? I really hate saying it because it's like the 800th time we'll have said it, but they project everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. It's like, why am I looking up to like Candace Owens and Larry Elder to like speak up for, you know, like for white men, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's really what happened though. Like, I was like, why am I getting, why do I feel like Candace Owens has my back more than the president or somebody? And they'll go, well, they're just a white supremacist. I'm like, what is happening right now? A black person could be a white supremacist.
Mm-hmm. It's you know,
incredible.
I think they're conflating it with Roman supremacy. I brought this up a couple of times. They call it white supremacy, make it a race thing. But like the Roman culture enslaved most of the world that they could get their hands on. They built the Roman Catholic Church to mentally enslave people. And like it's predominated our society, this Roman Catholicism, this Roman. Now it's like the British government with their banks, their international bank. Like it's all kind of
now we're talking
residual
like
of the Romans.
Now we're talking.
Seamus is sitting at home and he's going, oh, Ian,
Seamus, I got you.
I love it.
Defend yourself.
Seamus is not here to push back on the religious stuff. I don't know about all that, but I see what you're saying, right? The Roman Empire falls, then you get the European empires, the various nations.
The Holy Roman Empire. That was like Germanic.
But then you end up with colonization from a variety of European powers after the empire falls. So ultimately, I don't think they have any idea what they're talking about. I think they're just saying things that use morsels of truth to manipulate you so they can gain power.
Yeah, racism.
Right. They know that we all don't like racism. They know that the average American does not like racism. So they use the fear of you being called a racist. It worked for a while. I don't think it's working so much anymore.
No.
Yeah, people aren't having it.
It happened in 2016. I was trying to explain Hillary's email dump to WikiLeaks to my friend, and he was like, it's just your white privilege. And I didn't know how to defend myself or respond.
Right.
I was like,
can't.
I don't think so. I'm just reading it.
You felt yourself.
I felt so dirty. I was like, I don't think I'm welcome in L.A. anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Bro.
How can I
There's a real simple thing that I live by, and it's just if you don't know, ask. Yeah. So if someone's like, this is your white privilege, I'll go, oh, what is it?
What's that?
Yeah.
And then they'll say something like, because you're white, X, Y, and Z. And then ask them again, be like, you know, oh, what do you think about poor people? Like, what do you think about poor white people? And just keep asking them questions to make them answer. The Socratic method, essentially. Yeah. And then eventually when they break their own logic, they're just like, I don't know. And, you know, it's, I don't know. What do you mean by that? And then you lightly argue with them. Be like, I don't know about that one.
He was like, it's her time, Ian. It's her time. And I was like, you're just, it's your white privilege.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that have to do with her? I thought it was like, is it my male privilege or wait? I digress.
But here's what I do. You know, times have definitely changed now where we've bifurcated so much politically that I don't know if these methods work. But when I would have people say stuff like to me, like about Hillary, I'd be like, what do you mean by it's her time? And they'll be like, well, Hillary's been in government for so long, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, oh, do you think that makes her a good president? Like, do you think she'll be a good president? And then just have them ask them these things. And then once they start getting angry the way, like, because I've experienced that too, I always just be like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to make you angry.
Depends what you mean by the word.
And then they
got
to calm down.
Yes.
What do you mean by the word? Word.
But the one thing I.
Define word.
The one thing I always like is, like, if you're asking questions, because someone's making these outrageous statements that don't mean anything, and then they get really, really angry, you just say, I don't understand why you're being so mean, or I don't understand why you're yelling at me.
Yeah, rather than continue to try to drive home what I was talking about the emails, I should have started asking about his feelings and stuff. That's a better tactic.
If someone's using if someone's emotionally enraged, they're not going to think straight. Their logical centers of their minds are shutting down, the emotion's taking over, and now you want to ask them, like, yo, are you all right? Like, are you mad? I'm sorry.
And why are you being mean?
That's right. It's the same psychological tactic that you want to use with children, you know, because, like, you have to use child psychology to deal with children. And oftentimes adults behave like children. So you want to use the same techniques of a psychologist that deals with children to deal with adults that are behaving like children.
Right.
And I know that this is true, not because I have children, but because I saw a TikTok about it.
And made a lot of sense to me. And also reverse psychology.
Yes.
So when someone says they want to vote for, you know, Joe Biden, you go, well, I already voted for Joe Biden, and you disagree with me. And then they'll go, I'm not voting for Joe Biden. I'm actually voting for Trump. It's like, all right. And that works, too. No, that never works. But that I love that technically in some areas it literally did work. There's that Babylon Beam joke where they said, ingenious move, Trump comes out in support of impeachment so that Democrats must oppose.
Yeah. Good.
Because that's what they did. Trump could come out and be like, pancakes are great. And they'd be like, pancakes are terrible. They're racist. The racist history of pancakes.
The problem with gluten.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. There's 400 genders. There's so many.
Yes.
We're all polyamorous. We're all fluid.
Yeah.
Really? They say, sir, we're fluid. We're so fluid.
And then they'd come out and be like, we're all straight now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
I just want to say you're like 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 with the impressions.
Thank
like,
you.
I mean, I'm not keeping track or anything, but I think you're 4 for 4.
Can you tell what I did in my room growing up with all my weight shame? I just like, well, I guess I'll talk to myself.
Did you do it in a mirror?
Oh yeah.
Oh nice. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Jim Carrey did that a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, 6 for 6. Right.
That was good, but I just don't like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I like him these days.
What kind of millennial are you, Tim? I thought you were a millennial with the rest of us. You don't
millennials
like Jim Carrey?
Like Jim Carrey?
Yes.
He's like a self-righteous, arrogant guy.
He spoke out against Will Smith.
Oh, no,
his brain's been broken.
He did speak out against
in the 90s. Yeah. He meant a lot to us.
Bruce Almighty was awesome.
Yes, yeah.
And then they did Evan Almighty, and I was like,
well,
good.
I mean, Dumb and Dumber is my favorite movie of all
course.
Time. It's just,
God. I thought Ace Ventura was definitely a home run.
Yeah, that was good.
Nothing
had
come out like it up to that point.
Cable guy.
Now, how are we talking about Jim Carrey?
Well, he talked smack about Will Smith when he popped Chris Rock at the Oscars, and he was like, came out publicly and was like, it's, you know, derided it basically. It was nice to see a celebrity do that, or an actor do that.
Yeah.
You know what I prefer is like, I like people who are willing to be like, wow, I didn't know that. That's about it. And so, like, seeing some of these celebrities come out talking big, acting like they know everything, and they don't, and they're making everything worse, is frustrating. Because the way I describe it is, like, imagine you're trying to fix an engine. Actually, we talked about this with one of our progressive guests. And then you've got a guy standing next to you yelling that you've got to, like, you got to put the engine fluid and the blinker fluid in. You're like, that's not a thing. There's no blinker. Yeah, I saw it. I know you're insane. Okay. We need, and then they all vote. We vote. We pour the water in that valve and you're like, oh, you're going to break the engine. And they do. And then you're like, I needed that engine too, man.
Along those lines, last night we were talking about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing. I want to touch on it really quick because I said some stuff. I said, like, just a couple of drunk cokeheads beating each other up and people are like, Ian, Johnny Depp wasn't beating her up. I didn't really follow the trial. It probably did come off kind of ignorant to speak with that kind of authority. And Amber Heard is definitely a liar. Oh, so I want to get that on record. She said that she donated money to charity when she had actually pledged the money.
Yeah.
And then when they caught her on the stand lying under oath, they're like, you said you pledged it, but you didn't donate it. She's like, so did you donate it? I pledged it, yeah. Mm-mm. I pledged it. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if you donated it. I pledged it. I pledged it. Yeah, I don't. I pledged it. She was like, I use those words interchangeably.
And she keeps a permanent pouty face. I don't know if you know. She's just the whole...
That was
a whole trial, man.
She's a...
It was fun.
I don't want to talk too crappy about people, but that was...
It was fun. He's fat. He was fascinating to watch.
I thought you were going
to
say he was fat.
Yeah.
He had fat.
I was going to agree.
That's all I took from it.
No,
so fat. He was so fat.
I was going to agree because I was like, fat he was looking a little thick, you know? I saw him playing guitar and I was like...
But he would do these like 20-minute stories to get to this crazy thing she did. He'd be like...
And I woke up in the morning and there's a light dew outside. I saw a small injured crow that I knitted a small cashmere sweater.
Johnny Scissorhands over
when
here.
I realized Miss Heard had taken a crap into my laptop. You're like, just get to the crap in the laptop thing.
Exciting.
He's got to build suspense, man.
Yeah.
You think he'll be in, like, his career will have a resurgence? I think him and Will Smith should be put into some. Maybe
yes,
show.
Absolutely. And it's like maybe it should be space pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's dope.
You know.
He was off playing a live show in London
when
the verdict came out.
He is like Jack Sparrow at this point.
He is.
Yeah.
No, he's in Brando territory. I don't know if I'm the only one that remembers how the trajectory of Brando's. Brando was also a very kind of a central figure in Johnny Depp's life. I think in many ways he wanted to be Brando.
Okay.
And I think that Depp is pretty much at the Brando point in his career because Brando had to go on trial for his son's. Yeah, there was like there's some sort of murder trial that his son was involved in, and Brando had to take the stand. And in this weird way, Depp is in the same position that he's in. I think he's in Brando territory. He's never going to recover.
He was also banging Amber Heard, Brando. So I think
to his credit. Yes, of course.
All right, let's jump away from the funny celebrity stuff into the depressing, distressing Civil War stuff.
All right, great.
We got this story from the Washington Times. Distressingly high level of support for assassinating politicians among young Democratic men. I saw this headline and I went, what? What is that? No way. And then I looked at the data and the numbers are comparable to Republican women. I was like, why is it that maybe there's something about, I don't know, because young Democrat women and young Republican men are about one third in favor of political assassination. And I'm like, yo, that's bad enough.
Yeah.
That they're all. Yeah, so I love how they framed this, like, young Democratic men are in favor. And then it's like 44% said they would they support assassination, and young Republican women at 40%. And then I was like, okay. So let me actually – I don't know if this will actually work if I can pull up. Here we go. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center, who I don't trust and is probably wrong. But reading through this, the fact that they would list young Democratic men as the most in support of this political violence, I was like – well, why would the SPLC deride their own donors? You know, like they make their bread and butter is young Democrats. So maybe it's legit. And I got to be honest, a lot of what they say, I think it sounds absolutely plausible. There's a bunch in this survey that they produced, notably about feminism, about great replacement, things like that. We'll talk about the feminism stuff in a minute because that's also fascinating. But when you get to the partisanship and violence part, take a look at this. Total approval for assassinating a politician who is harming the country or our democracy. 44% of younger Democratic men, that's 50 years old, that's less than 50 years old, approve. 54% disapprove. Among young Republican men, it's 34% approval to 57% disapproval. There's a decent amount of young Republican men who just don't know. But look at this. Younger Republican women is 40% to 55. That's 4% off from the Democrats. Huh. And then younger Democratic women is 32% approve. You know, I don't care if it's 44. You take a look at the boomers and the Gen Xers, and the support is under double digits, right? Among older Democrat women, 9%. Older Republican women, 10%. Older Democrat men, 6%. And older Republican men, 6%. When the boomer generation passes on, the dominant power in society is going to be overwhelmingly in favor of assassinating political opponents.
I think that these numbers, though, show youthful ignorance, because as you get older, you realize that violence, you start to realize things about the way the world works and that you can't just destroy the thing you hate and expect everything to be okay.
We're talking about 45-year-olds, Ian.
Did you get the...
45-year-olds count as younger.
Did you get how...
Youngish.
Well, that's a problem.
But young
did you
fluid.
Get how many people young they pulled? Fluid. Like, did they pull 6,000?
1,500.
1,500 people. So it's not that many people, too. It depends on who they were polling. The kids might have been on Prozac, playing a lot of video games. You
know? Look, I think the bigger issue is that the Southern Poverty Law Center needs to keep people scared so they can make money off of them.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that's the first thing. They say their methodology is from April 18th, 25th, 2022. Tolchin Research conducted a nationwide survey of 1,500 adults ages 18 plus. It was conducted via online panel. The margin of error for the full 1,500 sample is plus or minus 2.53%. Maybe.
Well, it's bad timing because I think it was yesterday the man who attempted to assassinate Reagan was let out of jail.
Hinckley. John Hinckley Jr. Yeah.
Yes. And they said, we think he's doing okay. That's what they said. We don't think he's going to do it.
You guys ready for this next part?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it.
Check this out.
Scared.
In another poll, total approval for threatening a politician who is harming the country democracy. Younger Republican men, 46% approve of threatening a politician, 52% disapprove. But only 44% actually approve of assassination. You know what that means? It's 34% of Republican men approve. That means you've got about 12% all bark, no bite.
Yep.
They're gonna shake their fist at the politician and then do nothing. Mm-hmm. But it's the inverse for younger Democrat men. 40% are okay with threats, 44% with assassination. That means that 4% doesn't want to give you a warning.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell you what they intend to do. Now here's the funny part. The same thing is true of younger Republican women. 31% agree with threats, but 40% agree with assassination. These young Republican women don't want to warn you before
Personally, in the right mind would tell a poll that they want, that they're in favor of assassinating politicians? That's anonymous. Insane. You're going to be put on a watch list instantly if you tell someone that, I would imagine.
Good point, Ian, suggests the number is probably much higher.
And secondly, I had a point. I'll come back to it. I don't know what the
look at this.
I'll remember.
Total approval of for participating in a political revolution. This is what's fascinating. The one group that is most in favor of participating in a revolution is young Republican men.
I tweeted out
45%.
I'm getting really tired of this alien versus villain narrative that we're going through right now. What I mean is like the weird hero, like the young transgender kid is feels like an alien in the reality, or Superman who's an alien, or like a superhero that's not normal. This non-normal hero versus a blanket form of evil. Because when you think there are things out there that are evil, then you may be willing to destroy them. And it's making people think that killing is the way to solve things. Yeah. And it's not. So it's a fantasy. Marvel superhero movies are fantasy. There are no good and evil thing. Like, it's
not black and white.
Actually,
it's not black and white.
Put them in jail.
Avengers Infinity War did a really good job of addressing this. They, you know, Thanos was driven by his character arc was literally, I'm doing good.
Right.
And you actually have that conversation in the film with Captain America when he's like, we don't trade lives, versus Thanos being like, I'm going to save the universe. Thanos thought he was the good guy. And so, I watched this really amazing, filmmaker's critique of Infinity War. And they said what people didn't realize is that it's a hero's journey story, same as any other story, but it's about Thanos.
Yeah,
dude, I have the comic right here. This is where it all came from. If it's called the Infinity Gauntlet, and you're right, Tim, you explained it exactly. Thanos was an anomaly. Depends on the perspective you look at Thanos from, is whether or not he's evil.
Yeah, he is.
It really works though when they set up somebody to be just pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I fell for it. I was listening to NPR, you know. 2 years ago watching CNN, literally I was brainwashed. Because you go, well, they're evil, so it doesn't matter what we do. I probably would have been, you know, if they gave away free coffee or something, I would have filled that out. I would have been another point for the Democrats.
Yeah. But so what happened for you? How did you one day not, like, how do you break out from
that?
Oh,
yeah. My coming out. My walk away. Yeah.
Your walk away. Yeah.
Well, I talk to Brandon a lot because we're, you know, this is what's so funny is me and a guy like Brandon, we never would have talked.
That's Brandon Strock.
Yeah. We, they're bringing all these people together that would have never associated with each other. And so it's kind of bizarre. But, it started with the white shaming stuff. You know, that was it. It was like, take a seat, give up your job. Sorry, we're not hiring white people. We're full with white people at comedy clubs. We're not casting white people. And then slowly I'm like, am I supposed to just give up my life? And they would say yes.
Yeah. Take a look at this. As part of the same poll, The Great Replacement, they say, as you know, the demographic makeup of America is changing and becoming more diverse, with the U.S. Census estimating white people will be a minority in approximately 25 years. Generally speaking, do you find these changes to be very positive, somewhat negative, or very negative? You know what's funny? What do we have? We have 63% of Democrats say either somewhat or very positive. And I'm like, there is something deeply wrong with you if you're like, it's a good thing that a racial group is being diminished or whatever. Now, for the people that view it negatively, I have some questions about why they view it negatively.
Sure.
But it's not as bad as people view it positively. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, hey, it's kind of a bad thing that a group of people is slowly disappearing or whatever, I'll be like, okay, well, let's talk about that. For the Democrats, they're like, this is good. I'm kind of like, yeah, that's kind of creepy and racist. That's weird.
Well, even the white politicians, they're like, yeah, we'll be gone.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Harkens back to, like, that they're trying to – they're worried too much about the skin color and not the ideology of the Roman. I'm going to keep talking about Romans. It's awesome. But, like, this Roman supremacy thing where, like, you know, it was started by slaves, slave masters. They try and, like – even – I mean, I don't want to hate on the Catholic Church. But I do hate on the Catholic Church because I can't stand the organization of power and that you have to have this authority of a pope that you've got to go through. That's authoritarian. If you want to communicate with God, it's within you.
Was that a pedophile joke? You got to go through the pope?
No,
unfortunately,
so, no.
Yeah. And it was hilarious.
Pretty good.
My thing on the Great Replacement stuff is, you know, Democrats have talked about demographic change as a means of maintaining political power. Tucker Carlson then mentions they talk about it, then they accuse him of far-right white supremacist conspiracy theories. And I'm like, dude, they're outright telling the SPLC they view it positively that white people are becoming a minority. I'm like, race shouldn't matter.
No.
You know what's funny is this survey didn't have a doesn't matter option.
That's what
it's like, is it good or bad?
Yeah,
or do you not know? And I'm like, it's not good or bad.
Just is what it is. If that's what's happening, you know.
I don't think you want
and mingling. It's, you know.
Right.
I think it's good for immune systems. Racial diversity is good for the immune system, I believe.
It is. But ultimately, what matters to me is the values.
I'm going to put that on my Tinder profile.
Yes. There you go.
Yes. My immunity
make
is good.
It happen.
It's good.
Values matter. Meritocracy, individual freedoms, personal freedom, personal liberty, meritocracy. Did I say that? Personal responsibility. There we go. That's one.
Yeah.
Those are things that
responsibility.
Matter.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech. The safety and security in your person and your property, you know, the right to self-defense, due process, constitutional rights. The fascinating thing is they say in this, let me see if I can pull it up. They say, if we hope to secure a multiracial democracy and prevent partisan violence, our results show this is that a substantial effort on the part of activists, institutions, and government will be required if we hope to secure a multiracial democracy. Fascinating. Stephen Marsh was on this show, and he's the guy who wrote the book, The Next Civil War, which I reference fairly often. And he said, within the United States, there is a multicultural democracy and a constitutional republic. He said he favored multicultural democracy. I said, I favor constitutional republic. And I think he's right. I think that is the split. The SPLC is very much on the side of, they say multiracial democracy, but democracy is the real point here.
Mm.
We are not a democracy. We have some democratic institutions, like we elect our representatives, but we don't. And we have referendums. But for the most part, our government is run by elected representatives who represent us. I like the Constitution. I like the fact that there is like a set of rules and understandings as to what the government can and can't do. They want to get rid of that.
Yeah.
What they want is majoritarian rule. Whatever we say goes, which I think is nightmarish. The SPLC outright says they want to secure that. It's never been more clear, in my opinion.
Well, they're going after equity. Equality is out. you don't even hear the word equality anymore. You only hear equity, mm-hmm. which is forced outcome, and nobody knows what that means. No one even realizes that's what's happening.
Right.
And so you would never watch a football game if you knew the score, and that's what's happening. That's why people aren't watching Netflix, because they know the score. They know the story. They know it's going to be this type of person, this view, this view, this view, and there's no surprise anymore because it's not.
But tell it to us again, but this time as Trump.
Well, maybe I'll do it as Jordan Peterson. It's like no one knows about equity, Tim. It's like personal responsibility.
I love
Clean
it.
Your room. Eat a lobster.
Now cry. Cry. Can you muster out a tear?
It's like you got to stop doing cocaine off a stripper's butt. It's like Carl Jung. I don't even know how he came up with that. It's like a miracle Tim even came up with that.
See, I could be the executive director.
Seamus is going to regret not being here.
Yeah, I wish he was here.
It would have been great because we could have had...
This is my SNL audition because I can't get one, so I hope they're watching.
Perfect, yeah.
We could have had Jordan Peterson debate Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Well, it's like... Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I think you made a good point, Tyler, about equity and about equality of outcome, which is basically what equity is, that they will kneecap.
Well, I knew I'd have that outcome
it's
if
like
I said it. So.
In a game of football, if the team that was leading no longer got the ball until the other team scored and got there, no one would watch that sport.
No one's watching.
You can't even call it a sport at that point. It's because they're not able to compete evenly.
This is poisoning every industry. Because I talk about this a lot, you know, on social media and stuff, and I'm sure we'll talk about the lawsuit in a bit. But people reach out to me in every single department of every job, this is poisoning, and people are quitting because they're like, I don't want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. Managers are being forced to hire people based on skin color, and they're put in this really, really tough situation, you know, and people are just, the jig is up.
I'll be honest, right? Running a company, there are weird laws that you're looking at. And California's got it crazy. Like they mandate on the board certain, like, you have to have X amount of women or something like that. So then your company is no longer built by those who are good at the job. It's built by people who fit quotas.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I think men and women is the best example of the value of diversity. Because when I have conversations with people, I find that having a woman in with the conversation is a very different kind of communication. Not always, but there's logic, which is a very male thing. Then there's emotions, which is a very feminine thing, maybe. And but when it comes to race, like, I'm interested in hearing people's backgrounds and these other cultures, maybe they're from another country. I think it's way less important. I don't know, when it comes to diversity hiring women, like, I'm glad you're here, Lydia. I like that, to hear your perspective.
Oh, do we,
as a female?
Oh, Lydia? Oh, I didn't see Lydia. I didn't know. They put her in the corner
here
there.
The whole time.
Hi. I'm a woman,
do you think, is that offensive of me to say, Lydia?
No, that I'm in the corner?
No, just that there's a value of like male and female diversity in a conversation.
No, you're absolutely right. And we know that women like people. This is why women do jobs like be school teachers and be nurses.
Yeah.
And men are engineers. Turns out engineering earns more money because it's more precise. And even men, when they go into nursing, they go into nurse anesthesia, which is, it turns your patient into an object because they're completely asleep. And then
the men take over.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's what earns the most money. Yeah. It's engineering. But no, you're entirely correct, Ian.
Yeah. There is a lot of value there, especially between men and women and what different genders tend to offer. But however, you have to understand that there's an equal distribution of incompetence,
I think.
Across genders. And once you factor in race, it becomes very strange. But I do think there is some value to men-women ratio, generally speaking.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
It's a stupid idea, but I think it's worth filming.
Yeah. Yes.
Starting a new company and intentionally having the corporate ethos anti-meritocracy. So we intentionally hire the people who seem to be the worst at the job.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
that's next. Yeah.
We'll pull like a George Costanza and make like the best company ever.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that.
Only family members.
Opposite. Do the opposite.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we'd start a sandwich shop and we'd hire all the people with no experience, no drive, and it would just burn down.
Call it good looking.
Let me jump to this next story. It's part of the same survey, actually. But speaking of women, Ian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
2X chromosomes has this post. A study has found that a majority of Democrat men under 50 and a supermajority of Republican men under 50 agree with the statement, feminism has done more harm than good.
Boom.
Keep that in mind as we see Roe falling, femicide increasing, and birth control coming under attack to little mainstream fanfare. I jump back to the same SPLC poll that we had, and I jump down to gender identity, and they say, gender roles and gender identity, agreement that, quote, feminism has done more harm than good. 46% of young Democratic men, That's the majority of young Democrat men saying more harm than good. That one was surprising. 23% of young Democrat women, unsurprising. 52% of young Republican women think feminism has done more harm, and 62% of young Republican men think it's done more harm. That is not surprising, the Republicans, but the fact that young Democrat men think feminism has done more harm, I would say is mostly surprising, until you factor in the fact that many of those young Democratic men are probably incels. And I'm not saying that as a pejorative, and I'm not saying that to drag them. I'm saying literally there's probably a large proportion of young men in general, regardless of political affiliation, who have not been able to start a relationship or have sex, and so they blame feminism.
Well, the Democrat men are dating Democrat women.
That's exactly what
I was going to say. Primarily going to be the feminists. So they're the ones that are probably, when they reach 30, and that's what happened to me, that was another part of my, I'm going on dates and I'm getting lectured and told I'm a piece of crap and I'm the problem. And then the check comes and I'm like, and they, you know, they just sit back and I go, oh, so you just want the good parts of feminism. Mm-hmm. And that I found that across the board. And eventually I'm like, well, I'm out. Sorry.
Oh yeah. I've had dates in my life where it was obvious the chick just wanted dinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, yeah.
Strong feminists just wanted dinner.
Yeah. Well, they gotta fuel up.
I've always been about gender equality, so I just always split the bill.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the bill comes, and they would be like, thank you. And I'd be like, yeah, you want to do your card, or should we do two cards, or what do you want to do? And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, what are you thinking here, dude?
The last person I dated, she insisted I pay every time, and I started to just feel like a sugar daddy, mm-hmm. you know? But then she had a lot of
the... You gotta respond in kind, like it's like the dude from Mad Men, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, babe, come on. You know,
well, they're kind of pick and choose the best traits of feminism, and I mean, you know, good on them. I'd do that. I understand paying
for the woman and her food and her comfort if she's raising the child,
yes.
because you need her body to be comfortable.
See, that's where you run into the problem because me and this person, she was going for her career full force, and I was going for mine. Mm. I'm the breadwinner, you know, and so we came to this point. It's like, well, she's not going to stop. And I'm not going to stop, so we're never going to settle down, but I'm going to keep paying. And then eventually it's like, well, how long's that going to last, exactly. Ian?
Mm-hmm.
Say you're a chimpanzee
yesterday,
full of snakes.
Yeah. Yeah, lasted. What?
Say you're a chimpanzee full of snakes.
It's like you're a chimpanzee full of snakes.
He really said that.
Yeah, he really said that.
And you're going to rescue your father from the belly
That's
of a whale.
Correct.
I love it.
Did he say that one too?
So, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a Pinocchio one. He's been a huge influence on me. He was one of the first people I heard talking about this stuff, and I would literally cry watching, being like, wow, I can actually talk about this?
Yeah.
That's why he got so big. He was like a father figure to a lot of people.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sure. Changed my life. I mean, like, I got into therapy, got into 12 steps, and I went from broke to making six figures to speaking out to, you know, this is a kid's suit, but it's still a suit. And it's one person.
He's so
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. From one person. Wow.
Yeah. He would tell you that others, he's inspired, of course, by others that came before him.
Of course. He sums everything up so in layman's terms. That's his masterful skill. He takes all of this stuff and he puts it in plain 12 rules for life.
I want to point out this feminism thing. There's a really good point that the feminists actually made.
Oh, my.
If you look at support, older Democrat women, older Democrat men tend to disagree with the statement. They think feminism did more good. And older Republican women are similar to younger Republican women, but older Republican men, 42%. They made a good point. They said the older generation probably views feminism more as the right to vote.
Yes.
And the younger generation views it as like
the right to eat.
Black Lives Matter burning down buildings and stuff.
It's the second generation feminism, which is from the 60s, which is the revolution, all that stuff. Suffrage, I think, might have been the first generation.
And now we're at 12th dimensional feminism where the whole ideology exists in a superposition of itself.
It does.
Where everything is offensive and inoffensive and you never know which word you're allowed to say.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, remember when we had Richie's mom on and she did not understand, like, what was the issue with feminism now? And I was like, it's not like it was when you were dealing with it, because she's 60-something, and it's totally different now than it was when she was looking at it. Like, I understand having a positive view of feminism when it was actually seeking equality for women with men. That's totally different.
No one disagrees with that. But
exactly.
It sought equality of opportunity, but it didn't seek to make women equal, like the same as men in society's eyes.
Right.
That was never, you know.
This is the crazy thing, because it's like, do you think if you ask the average female, do you feel safe walking alone in a dark alley at night? They'd probably tell you, to a greater degree than men, that they do not feel safe. And a guy might be like, I don't know, I probably feel a little unsafe, but most guys might be like, I never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons. Guys tend to be bigger, tend to have more muscle mass, tend to have more bone density, tend to have more skin collagen, or literally do, and typically are less concerned about these things. Women are typically more concerned about these things. I think it's probably Jordan Peterson brought this up, but if you want to figure out the differences between men and women, you just tell everyone to line up from shortest to tallest. Yeah. And then it happens.
Well, it doesn't help me much.
It doesn't help me either.
How tall are you?
Well, I literally had to change my height to millimeters on Tinder just to trick women.
Oh, no. Oh, nice. If you change your posture, you'll
gain
inches.
It was 2,000 millimeters.
Yeah, that's
great. Well, this is 2,000 millimeters. This is true. When they added a height requirement, or a height like in between, you can go your highest and lowest height. Of course, all chicks are going to be like 6'7". No one's going down to 5'2". So I actually don't show up in people's matches anymore. And my matches went down almost to zero.
Wow.
Cheap.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I was fixing my posture and elongating it, and I gained about an inch and a half.
Perfect. Yeah.
Your body can shrink.
I know. I have great posture.
On a wall.
What also helps is getting quartered. Drawn and quartered, but not to the point where they rip your limbs off.
Just to the point where you scream.
Yeah.
It's really scratched and quartered. You don't really have to drawn. Just sketched.
Scored, they call it.
Yeah.
Scoring the muscle.
Sketched and quartered.
Yeah. Or they do this thing where they'll break your legs and then pull it a half inch.
That's a good one.
And then the bones heal. So you
Mia Farrow did that to Ronan Farrow.
That's true.
Definitely Frank Sinatra's son.
She really did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not a joke. That's true.
Yeah, she really did that. Yeah.
She did the leg.
She changed his name four times.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's true.
So he has like really long legs and like a small torso?
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you know, what she did and nobody's talking about.
You should do it to your arms.
Really long arms.
Like and play basketball.
Yeah.
Like Slender Man.
Well, I actually have a really, like, do you have a long torso?
No, moderate.
I have a long torso.
Moderate torso.
So when I'm at a bar, I would meet women at bars and we would be, you know,
sitting,
looking. Yeah. She'd be 6 feet. She'd think I'm her height. She'd get up and she'd just keep getting up and I would be here. And one time I met a woman on a train and I had a coat over my legs. We talked for 2 hours on the Metro North. She was 6'2" and I'm 5'3". And she got up, and I just go, I got a cramp. I go, just go.
Go on without me.
Go on without me.
Number, yeah.
I was like, my goal would be to get back to her house with her, never seeing my legs.
Wow.
You know, like I'm in the Uber already. Like, come on.
Let's go. Hey.
It sounds like you need some height equity in your life.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Height privilege.
Yeah.
Put your pants in from knee first. And so then when they see you, it just looks like you're, you know, like a wounded vet or something. And then you get up and just, you know, get in the wheelchair. And then
I got my little service labradoodle dog.
Swimming? Yeah. You go swimming for a day?
No, that would be – that's stolen valor. No, you don't do that.
Yeah. You're already in the pool when they get there?
Yeah. Magic. But height is a huge determination for success.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you guys –
That's why Tim sits.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. I mean, here's the funny thing. I took a picture with Charlie Kirk and Vosh. And like, was it Charlie like 6'5"?
Yeah, he's really tall.
Vosh is like 6'3". And they're like, they come over and then they're like, let's get a picture together. And I'm like, okay. And then I look at the picture and I'm like, dude, it makes me look like I'm 5 feet tall.
Like a toddler.
So it's funny though, because the way we have the camera set up, people, whenever I meet them, they're like, I thought you'd be shorter. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because here's how it works. Typically when you watch a TV show or a movie, the people tend to look taller because the cameras are held at chest height.
Right.
So from your perspective then, you're imagining your head is the camera and you're seeing these people that are tall. So when we have the cameras slightly at head height and slightly going down because we have to cross over each other, the people watching feel like they're looking down at us. And so the assumption is they must be shorter than me.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's just the position of the camera relative to where the
person is. Well, now that you blew it, man, now they know.
I wonder if that creates an air of like a lack of authority from us because we seem smaller.
Maybe. Let me tell you guys something. Let me ask you a question. I used to work in street canvassing, nonprofits. I'll ask you, Tyler.
Yeah. I did too, actually, by the way.
You did?
For charter schools, yeah.
Oh, cool. So you like walked to people and you were like, hey, can you give me money?
Yeah. Well, I was actually, I broke into the Trump Towers. This is a true story. They'd have me sneak in. But go ahead. We'll follow,
so,
circle back.
There are two characteristics that guaranteed there's one characteristic per gender. Each gender has a specific characteristic that guaranteed they would do well in fundraising. Do you know what that characteristic was for men?
Height?
Yes.
Had to be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in my experience working these nonprofits, for some reason...
A good pen?
Yes.
The guys,
a glowing pen?
The guys who came back typically always having tons of donations, were just tall. And there were some guys who you'd say were dumb as a box of rocks,
mm-hmm.
couldn't talk their way out of a gas station, and they were just making money. And I'm like, what do you say to people? And they'd be like, oh, I just told them, like, look, you know, you got to give money, you know? And then they do. And I'm like, well, this 6'7" guy talking to people, it's people primal. Just do it.
Scary.
Of the guys that tended to be more successful and were short, they talked fast and matter-of-factly.
I, like, have no idea what you're talking about. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about, Tim.
Yeah. Now, among women, what do you think the one trait was that was more frequent among those who just tended to do really well in terms of donations?
I have two ideas.
Wait, hold on. It's for Tyler.
Two ideas. I have two ideas, too.
It's their... Wait, donations from men or women or anybody?
Well, all I know is people would come back, and I would tend to see tall guys would make consistent amounts or large amounts of money. And then there was a characteristic among women that these women would tend to come back and just have money.
I hate to say it, but
I'm going to say boobs. I'm going to go and I'm going to say boobies. Frankly.
That is true.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. You can't take that clip if I'm doing Trump's voice.
I was going to say intelligence.
You tended to see, it's not absolute.
Yeah.
But women with large breasts would tend to be like, it was easy. Like I got five donors and tall guys.
Yeah, we're animals.
Right.
We are animals.
Yep.
And you can't separate that from any from these conversations. All of them are our primal instincts.
But you know what's funny is the stigma around saying women's breasts versus a man's height.
Hmm.
Like men can't control their height. You know what I mean? Women can't control their boob size. It sucks in my opinion that both there's these determinant factors.
Yes, we can.
That change right in your chair.
This is me at a bar. I have to order with a sock puppet on.
That's great.
A couple milks here. Oh, no. Got a couple milks.
But there's a people are more worried to say is it boobs?
Yeah, I was nervous.
Nobody
cares about saying
it.
A dude's height. People can like these women can outright be like, I won't date short guys. But if a dude says he's like, I don't date flat chicks, they'd be like, how dare you?
I think genetic realism is massively important part of the conversation in modern society.
Absolutely.
It doesn't get enough attention. I'd like it to get more. Guys viscerally attracted to women with large boobs, so they want to be physically near them. Literally, they want the opportunity that maybe her hand's going to touch his hand when he's signing the paper. Girls like tall guys because they have large, you know, members and everything, or there's an assumption. Or racial genetics. Like, someone might have a darker skin tone because of more melanin from their ancestors getting more sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. I love that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, when a man looks at a woman, we're looking at their waist-to-hip ratio to really be like, can she crank a couple babes out? That's what we're doing. It's not that we like big butts. We like to know that they can have kids.
Well, the reason that people like big butts is because it means that you are likely to be a better mother.
Yeah.
Like to be able to have children more easily.
And nurse them.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Butt fat is associated with health as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's much better than abdominal fat. Turns out.
I think the communists,
yeah, you went on the back.
They hate the idea that there is an element of your life they can't control.
Yeah.
Right.
But I always tell people, like, look, man, you can't change the cards you were dealt, but you can play your hand the best of your abilities. I've seen some poker hands where a dude's got 7-2 offsuit, but bluffs his way into winning the pot.
Yeah, I want to turn him with a jack six. When the blinds are high and it's every hand out counts, you can win with a crappy hand.
You got to know how to play.
You
got to
know how.
Exactly.
You can't change the direction of the wind, but you can adjust your sails.
Oh, it's motivation. Mm-hmm.
I think short guys are funnier. That was my way to get women's attention. It was be the funniest person, probably talk the fastest, and so. I see like a tall guy. It looks like me. He's really hot. I'd go, if I was him, I wouldn't be funny at all.
You could do what Lord Farquaad did. Remember that when he had the knight's armor, but it was like his feet went into the massive metal legs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I'm doing with my pants right now.
She sees him.
Exosuits.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was a comedy fantasy film. So
yeah. The military's working on giant exosuits where you can lift like 10,000 pounds. Wow. I don't know how much weight they get, but they're like 1,000-pound suits. The dude was just on Rogan talking about it.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
They still require battery packs. They're talking about building a real-life Iron Man suit. Like, that's what the military is working on right now.
Have you guys seen Obi-Wan, the show?
No.
No.
I started watching it even though I was like, I don't like Star Wars.
Why?
And it's exactly as bad as you think it is.
Oh,
no.
It's basically just like, remember Darth Vader? Remember Obi-Wan?
Oh,
it's just like, okay, dude, we get it. You're just telling us what we assumed happened anyway. But I bring it up because they actually show Darth Vader and like his limbs are cut off and then he like you know, they attach the things to his body or whatever.
Yes.
And then, you know, it is kind of cool, actually, to actually see Darth Vader going about his business, because you only had the big movie moments. Right. But anyway.
Is James Earl Jones to doing the voice still?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, crazy.
But, wow. You know, I just bring it up because he had limbs, like he had his prosthetics. So, you know, he's short, but, you know, now he's tall.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good point.
Everyone's got a thing. Everyone's got a thing that they suffer from. And so, it's like that's back to the race thing, where it's like you'd have no idea what anybody's going through. When I was a kid, my best friend was black. His grandfather was the chief of police, so the police department was run by a black family, and I wanted to be him so bad.
Aww.
You know, my parents were getting divorced, my dad came out of the closet, life was hell, my mom was suicidal, and it's like I wanted to be my black friend more than anything. Mm. And it's like nowadays I feel so bad for these kids who are going to be born and they're going to go, "Well, I have it worse." Even though my life is hell, just because I'm black or white or vice versa.
Yes.
And I think that the damage this is going to do to children is going to be like just irreversible.
It was stark when I heard that for the first time. I don't know, it was probably about 4 years ago, that because of your skin color, things will be harder. That really bothers
or
me.
Or easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Or easier. Like you tell a 5-year-old that they're going to believe my life is hard, and then they're going to start finding problems to justify what they think their life is.
Especially in this victimhood society where it's like a billion-dollar business now. So it's so tragic.
Yeah, this is something. Let's talk about pharmaceuticals for a second. Biden totally missed the ball on that speech he just gave, not talking about pharmaceuticals with kids.
Well, what do you think Biden's intention is?
To sell more pharmaceuticals?
No, pharmaceuticals.
That would be his.
No. This is why I say he's a bad person. This is why I call him evil.
Yes.
He lied. He is trying to manipulate people so they give up their rights. And he's not addressing actual issues that are screwing people over. I mean, you look at these people in government, and they're just like, what can I do today to screw over regular people because I want power?
And like, they're, do you think they're working towards some sort of profit motive?
Well, let me ask you something, right? Let me ask you guys a question. What if the Earth really is overpopulated and climate change is about to wipe us out? If that were true, would you support taxing gas, shutting down pipelines, suspending air travel, locking people down?
No,
ramp it up.
I'm not going to kill myself to stop the problem. Mm. That's not the way to stop the problem.
Go out with a bang, anyhow.
Exactly.
So you would say, if you knew that we were, like, let's just say, like, hypothetically, 6 months to the apocalypse, unless everything was shut down now, you'd say bring on the apocalypse?
After COVID, I think if COVID didn't happen, the lockdowns, I'd say yeah. But after that, it's like, no, I'm not going through that again. Can't do it.
Nope.
It's inevitable. There's nothing, I don't think that there's anything functionally that we could do to actually stop an apocalypse if it's really that predictable and that evident that it's coming. There's nothing that we could do.
You break up with her.
I think they're lying. And here's what I say. If you cede control to these people when they come out and they scream, the sky is falling, they're probably wrong. They're just probably wrong. Hmm. They might be right. Science might say a lot of things, but we are but humans. We are not, you know, omniscient. We're not gods. So I can respect when they say things like, we better be better stewards of the earth. And I'll be like, okay, I'm down. Let's do green energy because that makes sense. Mm. But when you cede power to them and they're like, suspend population growth, which leads to cultural collapse and civilizational stagnation and potential collapse. When they say things like, they're going to sacrifice X many people by shutting down fuel and you know, pipelines and stuff, that's going to result in death. I'm like, and if you're wrong, you're actually causing the problem. You are the apocalypse. There's two ways to look at it. Climate change is destroying the planet. There's too many humans. Or we need more humans to continually expand our scientific understanding. Decentralized power among the people will find a solution to these problems and carry humanity beyond the stars. I lean in that direction.
There's no Elon Musk. There's I forget who it was on Rogan. Two guys, I think, who wrote a book about population. And they said, what's your evidence that the earth is overpopulated? What's the number? It's the same thing with COVID. There's no limiting factors. Is it 9 billion, 10, 50? It's not that it's overpopulated. It's just that we're not properly dealing with the resources.
Right.
And yeah. I've never heard anyone say that until those two guys, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah. So when we're too heavily organized in cities and reliant on the outskirts of the farms. Like if the power goes out and the roads get blocked, the cities get starved. That's the problem. That's one of the hugest problems. Decentralized communities with magnetic trains where you can just travel. That's
circular cities ruled by supercomputers.
Like Burning Man.
Is that why they're letting everyone get shot in New York City? Maybe that's it.
Just letting
them get shot.
when Bill Gates comes out and he gave a TED talk where he said that, you know, we can reduce population growth by 10 or 15%. Here's a guy who says we need less people. And what if he's wrong? What if we need more people? What if Elon Musk is right? Pick one. You know, this idea when they come out and they're like, we're overpopulated in climate change. And I'm just like, and if you're wrong. So I look at it this way. Humans have continually adapted. More people means more innovation. Mm-hmm. Let's make a bet on humanity and not against humanity.
Yeah, the connection is the people are poorly organized. The amount of people we have right now and the organization structure that they're in is not sustainable. If the power goes out and the roads get blocked, people will have a mass die-off in the cities. But it's also true that we need more people. So we need a more organized structure for those people. Better travel, better transport, drone delivery of food, things
like
that.
But we do these things. Humans develop these things. You know, we adapt to these issues.
Well, the whites are dying out, guys. I don't know what you're complaining about. It's all, we need 10 years and we're fine.
Oh, that's a funny thing, too, about white people becoming a minority. Because it's like, it's white liberals that aren't having kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, that's also assuming, like, people are getting together that aren't the same race. Because if a white person and a Mexican person get together and have a baby, the baby's not considered white.
Exactly. So that's actually how the census works in this country. If a white person has a kid with someone who's half white, the baby is just not white, even though it's a quarter, you know, whatever
really?
Other race. Yeah, you just considered other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they could grow up and be called white adjacent.
Well, that's a political thing. I mean, like, as far as it goes with, at least this is what it was like growing up. They said, you're not considered to be solely white for me because I have, you know, Asian. So it was just like, you're not a white person.
You got Asian?
Yeah.
Can I buy it? What can I get? I want to pay you for that, man.
I would have to extract
make you an offer, dude.
25% of myself.
It's like, yeah, haven't they won? Every white guy I know does not want to be white. It's like, okay, you guys won. Mm. Every white guy's like, I wish I had something that I can just add to my resume right now. I was raised by a gay man and his partner, and I'm like, that. I wish that transferred, but those credits don't transfer, you know? I'm gay raised.
Would.
I wish I, no, because it's not my lived experience. That's what I'm told.
But you've got insight into the lived experience.
Yeah, I grew up in gay bars, but it doesn't matter. It's like no one wants to hear it.
Interesting.
Well, because
gay
you're
raised. Because I'm white.
That's right.
Yeah. Even gay, there's a lot of gay white men now who are getting rejected in Hollywood, and they're reaching out to me. I'm like, damn,
wow.
We've really, it's bad. Yeah. Not gay enough or not, you know, like not quite dark enough.
That's the best thing. It's like if I come out and agree with them, then I'm a marginalized person. If I disagree with them, well, you're white. It's like, oh, so I get to be white if I disagree with you? Yeah, okay. Let me tell the racists over there who you know, what you said. You give me permission to be white. That's why I think that whole ideology is just bankrupt.
Oh, it's destructive. I think it's the number one thing that'll destroy the country.
I got to say, though, this what is a woman stuff, the wokeness, it's a great red pill when what is a woman is the best question. Because you're seeing all these progressives unable to answer it. And then I'm just like, man, all he got to do is go. You're like, how do I convince my parents or whatever? Ask him what a woman is. There you go.
That's terrifying.
It's like a simple dictionary question. And what's funny is it's like people can't answer it.
Well, how can you fight for women's rights and then not be able to define? That's the thing. Everything is starting to contradict itself. The house of cards is just falling down. They've made up so many terms and ideas. They're starting to collapse. It's fun to watch, I think.
That's what I thought the flag was, the pride flag.
Yeah.
There was so many flags on a flag that it was collapsing
flags on
itself.
Flags on,
I couldn't
flags on,
tell.
Flags on, flags.
It didn't have like structure. The structure was lost in the madness.
It's a perfect representation. Mm-hmm. It's madness. They want it to be madness.
That what the thing the Nets posted, where it was just like it looked like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah,
it was just weird symbols and shapes and lines. And I'm like, shimbles.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That was a house of flags. Is that what this is? The New Jersey Nets. Is that what you're talking about?
Brooklyn.
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, and it was like this weird. Do we have that one?
We were looking at it a couple nights ago.
It's a great flag.
Oh, you're from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn now, yeah.
Sorry.
It's brutal.
Yeah, here, we got it. We got it right here.
Oof.
Like, yo.
That's it.
I even saw gay guys who were just like, I don't understand what this is.
It's too crazy.
What is it?
It's too many people trying to be accepted for something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's chaos in action right there.
Well, they're justifying every new made-up group, and then they have to give the new one their color or space on the flag. There's going to be that. This is going to multiply every year.
Of course.
That's so wild. It's got to, like, it feels like it's collapsing on itself from the chaos.
We should make a flag.
Yeah.
What kind of flag?
I don't know. But everyone else has one. I kind of want one.
I definitely want one.
We should make a flag for Biden. Trump's got a flag. The Biden one should be him sniffing some
glass of milk.
A glass of milk.
Pudding. Applesauce. Yeah.
A glass of milk. Yeah, that's it.
Dog, it says dog face. Yeah, I love it.
Dog face. Dog face. Yeah.
Could you make like a flag that's a prism? So depending on how you look at it, you might see the rainbow or you just might see through it. That'd be cool.
A three-dimensional flag.
Yeah.
A cube.
Yes.
They got to stop giving people flags in parades. It's making these people turn into children.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to stop. I'm just not celebrating it anymore. I mean, I used to have to because I grew up.
Right.
You know.
I think we should just give everyone a flag with their name on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the smallest minority is the individual.
That's right.
Right.
There you go.
And the smallest individual is a baby.
That's right. We should care the most. Baby should get
two flags. So we should make flags for unborn children.
That's right.
Yes.
I want to arm them.
That might solve the birth certificate problem.
Yeah, definitely.
With the assignments, the gender assignments at birth, you just get a flag instead of a gender assignment.
Perfect.
Yeah. Get a selfie. They make you take a picture of it with it in your hand.
No names anymore.
Just flag. Yep. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day before they had addresses, they had shapes and images on every house. Like there would be a red shield. You know Rothschild? The Rothschild?
Really?
Yeah. That means red shield.
Oh.
Came from the original guy had a red shield on his house.
Yeah. We're regressing back to that.
Yeah.
To shapes and symbols and emojis.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's like hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
Hieroglyphics. That's a good idea.
I love it.
I wonder if I could do that. You know, like we'll build a house and then when we have to register with the post office, I'll be like, it's the poop emoji house. They're like, we're not writing that
Amber's
down.
That's Amber Heard's house.
Amber
Heard's house. I wonder if we could do that.
That'd be funny.
You can actually create streets. So there was a property I was looking at and there was this like gravel road that just went off the side. And the owner said that he like sold it to the city or whatever. But it already had a name, and so it just became like the named street. They left it the way it was, and I'm like, so we could do that? Because I'll create a crazy named street, like Amber Turd Avenue or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Hill,
great.
Hill.
That'd hill,
be
cool. Hill. Yeah.
Hill Road, but it would be a hill, you know?
Hill Road.
Avenue.
Hill, Hill.
That's where Biden grew up.
I grew up in Hill.
Hill, yeah.
Joe Biden.
My grandma would you guys name, like, if you had a city, would you name stuff after yourself?
If I had a city?
Yeah.
Yeah, branding, I think. Yeah. I think it's a good branding idea.
I would too at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, like, it's the 1600s and you walk up a hill and you're like, I'm gonna build a house right here. And then they'd be like, what's that place over there? And be like, oh, that's Ian'sburg. Cause Berg is hill.
Right.
And then he'd be like, oh. And then you'd be like, yep, I'm Ian, it's my hill. Woo. And then everyone started calling it Ian'sburg. And then now it's Ian'sburg.
And then like now we have that flag.
Yeah.
Now that's your flag.
Cut to this.
I'm disappointed.
Cut to that.
It's crazy how things work. Let's talk about the apocalypse, guys.
Oh.
Good.
Gas prices on the road to $5 nationwide very soon. That's the news. Congratulations, everyone. I hope your vote for Joe Biden was worth it. It's at $4.71 per gallon. In California, it's over $8. So, apocalypse when?
Apocalypse now. No, that's a movie.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that out loud.
Yeah.
It was too tempting not to say.
Yeah.
You kind of look like me if we go through like one more pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And great. Then shave.
Yeah. I feel you.
I feel like we both.
Nice beard,
like,
by the way. Yeah.
We can like interchange our looks right now.
Yeah, like your hair. Yeah. It's parted very nicely. Apocalypse. I don't know. What does apocalypse mean? Does that mean the end of the world?
We talked about the people who want revolution reckoning. And all that stuff. And we can talk about the political implications of what would drive actual conflict, but it's going to be this. When people can't afford to go to work anymore, when the cost of getting to work is more than the work produces, people stop working. And then
of course, yeah.
Why would you go to work? Remember the toilet paper shortage? That was people were really scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's 2 weeks. Toilet paper.
And that was weird, too, because I was like, just use your hand and then wash your hands,
oh,
right?
Gosh, okay.
Aren't we all doing that?
Stop in the shower. I don't know.
Literally, yes.
Gross. Oh,
I suggest it. It actually feels better, too. It's less dry.
Wait, I wanted to ask.
I was joking.
I don't joke around.
I got to ask him this question. Tim, you said a number a long time ago, a certain percentage of people's income, if it goes toward food, that will be the marker of a revolution. What percentage was that?
Something like 42%? I don't remember. We were reading something.
Yeah.
Depends if you're dating a feminist or not.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because they eat a lot, don't they?
It's going to be 90%.
Yeah, because they're like, I'm healthy at any size.
That's right.
And then you're like, okay, dear.
Okay, whatever.
And then you're giving them the French fries.
So the apocalypse from ancient Greek is a literary genre in which a supernatural being reveals cosmic mysteries or the future to a human intermediary. Has that already happened? Is that what the internet is? Have we created like some sort of super being that's
yes.
communicating with us and making people crazy?
It's Elon.
Don't look at it. It's like the Ark in Indiana Jones.
Like
you look at it, it
yeah.
blasts. You're like, ah.
Yeah.
That's what the internet is. The phone is the Ark. You turn it on, you're like, oh, and your face melts.
That's what Twitter feels like.
Exactly what's happening. That's so true. Yeah.
Actually, that would be a good
do you feel like we're more, the reality is more now the internet than reality? I think we've actually, we've just
merged.
Crossed the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the younger generation.
Yeah.
So when, you know, I say this for, people don't understand that you don't convince people to join your side. Like, it happens. It does. An individual is convinced of your argument and then becomes whatever politics you have. What really happens for the most part is young people have those values and then grow up with them. Rarely are people actually jumping ship or changing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're saying the reality becoming more like more the internet. It's because boomers and Gen Xers who grew up in reality are slowly aging out.
Right.
Once they're gone and it's all millennials, the internet will be everything.
Right.
Unless the power goes out. I normally don't always, I hardly ever say, like, we need some sort of catastrophe to show people what really matters in life. I think it's from time to time, but I don't want to bring that on people. But if the power went out and people have to,
that would
know,
be
reconcile.
It. Yeah, that would be it.
They would be like fish out of water. They would just, like, fall down and go, like, bah, bah.
I was thinking, like, even if they just stopped TikTok right now. There'd be millions of people in the street just dancing, just like hoping someone sees it.
This is the weirdest thing.
We'd have like a meltdown.
When TikTok first started happening, I remember we were in Jersey.
Yeah.
And I look out the window and there's some like little girl in the middle of the street just doing these weird dancing. And I was like, what's going on?
Seizure.
And then
she just saw the flag. She's having right. a seizure.
But in the middle of the street. And then she walks up to a mailbox and picks her phone up. And I was like, oh, she was filming herself. And I was like, what is this?
That was weird.
And then I saw it all over the place. People would be in the malls and they would just be like standing in the corner, like doing weird. And I'm like, wow. Like listening to hearing songs that no one else can hear.
It's over. Yeah. It's over. We can't come back from that.
Yo, people are going to plug into Elon Musk's Neuralink to join the metaverse
so
in 2 seconds. Yeah. They're going to be begging. Elon Musk is going to be like, the first edition of Neuralink can be surgically implanted and we'll do it for free. Just come over here and we'll jam the spike in your neck. And they're going to be like, please, Elon, me.
That's cool. It's very cool.
I want to be in TikTok.
So
just
like
live in that reality.
If we've got a sort of a caste system set up right now where you have the really wealthy people that never think about money, really they never have to even think about it unless they want to make more of it. Then you have like the working class and then you have the abject poor. Now if you have the meta versions where they might be lower than the abject poor. It might actually be considered abject poor. They're just like getting intravenous, you know, nutrition and getting their harvesting their body heat or something for. But then it's going to create a class of like workers that hate reality but are willing to do it because they don't want to be part of the lower slave class, like the metaverse class. I think it's going to create another.
You guys ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Mm. No? You never seen it?
It's pretty good. The TV
show
is good.
One of the best shows ever. Totally. So I'll give you the short version. There's a bunch of different colonies on all these different planets. They make these AI robots. The AI robots go to war with them. Then eventually the civilization gets wiped out because, you know, the robots advance themselves and then declare war. So now all that's left is like a fleet of ships that are traveling away from the wiped out civilization. And there are ships that refine the materials they need for fuel and stuff. And the people who work on them have no choice. And they're basically slaves. They work 80 hours. They don't get time off because if they stop working, the whole thing collapses. They all die. But then the captain, of course, he has to deal with the conflict of struggling to survive, but he's got the nice whiskey in his office and, you know, he's in charge. And that's just like, that's the reality of struggle in the real world.
This is a documentary about Amazon?
What?
Yes.
Oh.
So they actually have episodes where it's like people are trying not to work because their lives are miserable on these mining ships or refining ships. And they're like, if you stop working, we all die.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we've got to rotate other people in because people can't do this anymore. And they're like, if they can't do it, they can't do it. And we need the people who can. So that's just, that's the reality of existence. So if we ever created like an actual metaverse civilization, then you're going to have some people who are the privileged elites who are in the metaverse and the poor people shoveling mud and dirt outside to make the machine run.
With their masks on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with their masks on.
So
yeah.
You could have classes within the metaverse of rich people in the metaverse that can control the code and see the code.
That's right.
And then everybody else.
Yeah, the Zuckerberg class. They're going to walk up to you, Ian, and you're going to be like, Zuck, I don't like what you did. And he's going to go beep, beep, beep. And you're going to turn into a giraffe.
He'll like teleport in and I'll be like, I want to teleport. He's like, if you work your whole life, you might be able to. And 40 years go by of me trying and then, no, it doesn't happen.
They'll like there will be the elite class. I mean, it's happening now. We don't even, it's not even sci-fi. You've got the powerful elites who can control big tech and manipulate what you see and hear to make you think what they want you to think. It already exists.
You're seeing this within comedians. They're starting to go, all right, what was banned on TikTok this week? So what are the things you have to avoid? Oh, you got to make a thumbnail like this. Don't include this image. A friend of mine, his TikTok was just taken down because he had a picture of a gun.
Wow.
And it's I'm banned from there every other week.
We're perma banned from TikTok.
I've never even got
it. Don't even know why.
But it's starting to shape comedy.
Yeah.
Cancel culture is shaping comedy, and everyone's terrified to take a risk.
I talked to a guy we might have on the show, and the general idea is they know they can't win on free speech grounds, so they're trying to control what young people see and hear so that, oh, yeah, let Tim Castirel have the conversations. Who cares? They're in their 30s. By the time these 15-year-olds are in their 30s, they're going to hate free speech and they're going to do as they're told. That's
happening.
Where we're going.
Yeah, it's launched already.
It's not free speech. If our speech is getting censored by corporations at will just because of what the CEO wants to do, that's not freedom.
They're getting people to actually cancel themselves. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I think of it.
Yeah.
It's because I started to do that. I started to censor myself on stage and with my writing. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually canceling myself and my material's getting so boring so people aren't watching it.
Just do a joke where you just bleep out the words. So keep the joke, but just bleep it.
Right. On TikTok?
So, or on stage. So you can be like, I met a guy, right? He came from this country, a bunch of bleeps, you know?
Yeah. That would be a funny joke. Yeah, the whole thing. He's bleeping bleeps. You know these bleeps. This bleep knows what I'm talking about. He's a little bleepist.
You can't say that because you'll get banned on the internet for hate speech if you call someone a bleep.
Yeah.
Whoa, or just really carry a thing that beeps, and so you talk in the microphone. And just
yeah. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that.
Great idea.
Then you can keep all your jokes. You know?
I think you're right about self censorship. It's one of the more dangerous things that can happen to someone right now because it's such early stage of like internet censorship. We have an opportunity. You know, we're constantly at crossroads to fix and make these things better with free software, copy left software.
Yeah,
but self censorship in the meantime is the road to ruin.
I mean, I had millions of views taken off. I did a Fauci impression, and they actually called it removed for imitation.
What?
What?
It's like, this is comedy.
What?
You were pretending to be Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, I did just talking about, you know, like, the first shot really is just to loosen up the vein. Then we do the third, fourth, and fifth shot. Just to create a Pfizer community, then 7 through 10 are placebos, getting us to 12.
Great.
And all of these are removed, and they say removed for imitation.
Now, that's different than impersonation. Wow. Impersonating someone is illegal. You're not allowed to – I'm not allowed to tell people I'm Tim Pool and use Tim's credit card. Like, that's illegal.
Yeah.
If I go on social media and make a Tim Pool account, they're probably banning it if Tim wants it gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But
my Trumps are taken down – faster than Nancy Pelosi with her eyebrows. She does the
They won't let you do Trump.
Oh, Trump was removed last 2 days ago in, I think it was 11 minutes from TikTok.
Wow.
And it's like...
It's because they don't want people to enjoy
Trump. They're CCP. They can't handle the power of goodness.
No. These Trump impersonations make Trump likable.
Yeah, because he's funny. Right. Whatever you would think of him, he's actually really funny. But it's so scary that now the guidelines on TikTok are 5,000 pages long. Same with Instagram. Mm-hmm. They can remove it for any reason they want. And they have so many reasons now where it could just be removed because somebody got a little upset.
Oh, yeah. It's removed because CCP thinks you're going to upturn their communist dictatorship.
Right.
It's ByteDance is the company that owns it. And that's basically run through the CCP. I've never touched the crap. I refuse. I'm
Yeah, but our kids are using
TikTok. It's trash.
But it became like a survival thing for me because my Instagram got shadow banned, and it's like my TikTok blew up, and then I started to tour, and then they shut it down, and it's a problem. Because
they want to control the culture of young people so that they believe what they want them to believe and behave the way they want them to behave, and so the people who run these companies, it's a CCP, right? They're manipulating us. They are attacking us. They are our adversaries.
I hate to say it, but it
blows my mind.
It's at some point you got to call a spade a spade. Like in 1934 Germany, I don't think I would have been happy with Hitler's rhetoric, and I probably wouldn't have been on maybe I wasn't there. I don't know, but the slaves, the Uyghurs in Western China, unconscionable. I can't deal with it. I own freaking software that was built by these people, unfortunately, or hardware, I should call it. But I can't stand for it, man. That's slave. We still live. Do you guys really care about slavery and racism? Turn your eyes on the CCP.
No, they don't. Well, I don't think anybody, for the most part, did. They just wanted to move it.
Smash the ignorance.
Yeah.
Do you know what was the biggest contributor to the end of slavery? It was automation.
Oh,
it was
sorry.
It was industrialization.
Yes.
I was reading about it when humans did when the easiest thing for a person was to have a slave, they would fight to maintain that slave. Mm-hmm. But once industrialization began and it was actually cheaper to maintain a machine than a person, then you lost economic incentive. The reality was humans were motivated by money and greed to have slaves. I mean, that's fairly obvious,
yeah.
right?
Mm. Yeah.
So once it was cheaper to have a machine, they were just like, you lost the support for it. And then abolitionist sentiment started to grow. It's right. crazy, right? People assume it was a moral thing where humans woke up one day and were like, you know, I've realized it's wrong what we're doing. No, the reality was they were making more money not having slaves, so no one supported it, and then the fight.
I'm imagining some guy going, is this bad?
Is this
right.
bad? Yeah.
On a scale from 1 to 100, how
Tony,
bad
is this?
Yeah, this plays with bad? What you were saying about Battlestar Galactica, too. They have slaves because they have to. Literally, to survive. For the ship to survive, they need people to work 80-hour weeks in the coal mine.
That's crazy. I think your civilization would collapse at that point. Like in Battlestar Galactica, when they have these people in the refining ships or whatever it was, I'd be like, nah, dude, people would probably just lose it. Like that, the show is about them adrift, basically, with like limited resources. It's one thing to be on a planet where you can always go off and try and survive on your own. It's another thing to just be like in a desert with nothing.
Do you think they'll be able to convince enough people where it really becomes the dominant force? Just whatever what do you want to call it? Woke brain disease, whatever it is. But it really is a brainwashing.
I feel like young people are starting to snap. Like they just, they're sick of it. They're sick of, young people are rebellious, right?
And they don't have lives anymore. No one has a life. No one has a relationship or a house or a good job. So what's left?
Losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more. More relationships, more jobs, more cool jobs. Like using lasers to make graphene.
So there, sure. I think these blank slaters who think they can raise people to be a certain way are going to have a rude awakening when they realize that it's a little bit of nature and nurture.
Yep.
And you can't just remove the nature from people. So these young people who are like on TikTok, they crave human affection and attention and they're not getting it. They're going to snap and they're going to say the system is broken. I don't want to live this way.
I used to think you could get enough for relationships through internet video chat. And I had a friend tell me like, no, I don't think so, Ian. It was like in 2007 and I was manic about the internet, the power of internet video. I was like, no, I mean, you can meet the most intelligent people. You know, video chat with them. You don't need Secret Service there. You can, this is it. This is the future. And it's.
Doesn't compare to this.
Yeah. There's some sort of, you can smell each other.
There was
I do. Yeah.
There's a, this is a fact. Humans are happier around nature.
Yes.
And so they actually did controls to determine people's rated levels of happiness. And they found that people who live in cities are unhappy because of the city. And if you take people from cities and bring them to nature, their levels of happiness go up.
Yep.
I'm dying inside from being in New York. I mean, it really is dangerous and it's falling apart right now. But it's taking a toll. Yeah. No, I'm plotting. I'm plotting.
You know what I see when I walk outside? Chickens.
Yeah.
Birds.
And you know what they say when I walk outside? Buck.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Andrew Huberman, the neuroscientist. Are you guys familiar with his work? Huberman Labs. He's brilliant.
I dabble in his work, but I'm not too familiar.
He's been on Rogan a couple times, at least once, and he has uncovered or has been really pushing looking into the horizon every day for like 15 minutes because the amount I don't know if it's about your peripheral vision, but it's the unfocused long-distance view is supposedly one of the greatest things you can do for your mental health, according to Andrew. I defer to the scientist on that one.
In Montana, that's where we shot Terror on the Prairie. Yeah. And we were in between two mountain ranges in the middle of a prairie.
Bitterroots?
And I just stared out into the...
Which ranges?
Who do you play in the movie?
I play a guy, his name is Longhair, believe it or not.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, Longhair. And, he was in the Civil War and, not on the correct side.
Oh. No.
Depending who you ask. And me, Nick Searcy.
Yes.
Nick Searcy, Heath Friedman, an actor who actually passed away right after the film.
Oh wow!
And Daniel Day-Lewis's son in his first ever film, Gabe, and the four of us. Yeah, we're just seeking revenge and going after Cowboy Cerrone, who's not home, but Gina's home, his wife. And then we spend 2 hours fighting her.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
Nice.
When's that out?
Little knock.
June 14th. Ooh. On the Daily Wire.
Daily Wire cranking out the hits.
Very cool. Yeah, man, I think they're actually going to be a contender for Netflix in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
I think Netflix thinks that too. They're done. I mean, they're basically like, hey, we can't make these. Did you see what they said? We can't make these crappy movies like The Irishman anymore. I don't know if they didn't use the word crappy, but they're like we can't use these like ego projects anymore. Where like people get to just
Obi-Wan. Yeah. It was like there was an article I saw and it said Star Wars has a plot problem. It's like it's all done. It's all written. We know exactly what the story is.
Missing Gina Carano. That's the plot problem.
All they're doing with these shows is like, let's just reuse the same characters. I'm just like, if they tried doing the sequel movies and they were just total trash. The industry is decaying, just totally in decay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's a lot of the woke ideology thing. They're just picking people based on what they look like instead of their talent or their audition. They're just putting them, you know, in front of the chessboard. And Daily Wire, if they keep it up, I think they're going to clean up. They're not doing that. They're taking the best script. They just had three female leads in a row, and they said it's not because we wanted to have, like, it was a decision. Those were the best scripts that came across our table, and they read thousands.
Yeah.
And if they really keep it up, I mean, they cast our film. They saw me on Instagram and gave me an audition. They didn't do a social background check, which they do now on Netflix and all these shows.
Wow.
They just picked the best auditions, and the film's incredible, and I think their movies are going to be – people are going to want
to
see him.
I will give a shout out to Guardians of the Galaxy, because Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, I think, are some of my favorite movies, just because they use the old soundtrack. So you have this movie, and the way they use the old music and brought it all back is just one of the coolest things. But it also is indicative of like a decaying culture where we have, like, I think because of Guardians of the Galaxy, all these old songs from the 70s reached top charting positions. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's cool because the music was better in a lot of ways back then, in my opinion, even though I wasn't around for it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, some of it was. I mean, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, four dudes singing four-part vocal harmony for the recording all together.
But they went nuts. Well, Young did.
Neil Young.
Lost his mind.
Neil Young's a pretty special man. Hey, we're going to go to Super Chat soon, but I wanted to ask you, like, you said you were basically in abject poverty, then you now are making six figures because of Peterson, but, like, what was that transition like for you?
Well, Jordan gave me $100,000.
Oh, that's more, okay, that's more nice. Simple.
Yeah.
That's
good. I just have to do an impression of him. Like on every podcast.
I think for young kids that have been pursuing the entertainment industry, I was in Hollywood for like a decade too.
It's scary.
What would you advise?
God, it's the Wild West right now. I mean, look, I actually started losing agents and managers. They'd say outright, we can't help you because you're white. They'd email me. They'd tell me on the phone. The last manager that scouted me said, we aren't taking white men. It's a real problem. And I'm not saying some white men aren't going to get in and by the way, this hurts everybody. This isn't even about white or black or brown or anything, because if you give someone a job who isn't qualified in Hollywood, they're going to get eaten alive because it is a brutal, brutal business. But what I did, this is just my own story. I just said, screw it. I started making my own stuff, writing my own scripts, funded all of it. I've made probably 1,000 videos at this point, anywhere from a sketch to a 1-minute thing. And that's how I got my first movie role. I've been acting for 17 years.
Wow.
And so I hate to say there's no real way to go right now, but they're certainly not looking for talent.
Nope. Just but checking out boxes, I guess.
They know it when they see it.
They do, yeah.
That's why you put yourself out there.
Yeah, yeah. I had to give up the dream. I actually had to kill the dream because I started to get booked on TV shows and bigger and bigger roles, and I thought, oh, now I'm going to make a living. Mm. And then it just came to a screeching halt, and it was the woke ideology, and they weren't hiding it. And so I said, I have to kill the dream, do it myself, and that's it.
Let's go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show however you can, take that URL, post it everywhere, and head over to timcast.com. We're going to have a members-only show coming up at 11 p.m. I imagine this won't be funny, and we've got some stuff to talk about that's not so funny. But we'll get into all that stuff. We got Matthew Reckamp, who says, I just watched What is a Woman on Daily Wire, and I can't help but wonder, is there anything like what is a desired trait from back when eugenics was a thing? P.S. Watch along segment on timcast.com. That would be fun. I don't know when we have time to do it is the challenge.
Great idea.
Mm. Yeah. Nick Koenig says, first Super Chat, just chose Vampires over the Dawn Guard in Skyrim, 10th anniversary. Thoughts? Well, Ian just went to the bathroom, so unfortunately none. Yeah. The wrong thinker says the ATF has been sitting on my Form 4 for nearly a year. Abolish gun control.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yep. That's how they do it. Camel of the Mojave says it's weird the Daily Wire hasn't secured the rights to the story of that guy sitting in a barber shop stands up to do the right thing.
Right.
That's a good point.
Agreed.
That would be a crazy movie. I don't know what you could really do with that in terms of a plot, though. You know? I guess you could.
Yeah,
you know.
That'd be great.
They're probably better. They are better writers than I, so. Odysseus Horse says, Tim, have you looked at getting Johnny B on? He does a mix between gun culture, gun-related politics, and weapons reviews. He's also a big fan of your show. No, but we will write down his name. We'll take a look.
I'll write that down.
All right. What do we got here? Alessio DeMonte says, speaking about gas prices, one store in Montrose, Colorado hit $6.50 a gallon for diesel.
Ooh. Wow.
That's a kick in the balls, man. A kick in the balls. I'm telling you right now, when the cost of working is greater than what you make from the work, the system falls apart.
Of course.
I should say this. When the cost of working gets close to the cost of what you earn.
What's the point?
Yeah, because you're going to be like, I spend 10 bucks every day to get to work and I make 11. I just keep 10 bucks. You know? I'm making $1 back, not worth it. Edison Miller says, Tim, listen to the after show last night, and as an Alaskan, I can tell you the best thing about Anchorage is it's only 20 minutes to the real Alaska. Also, 24-hour daylight is only above the Arctic Circle, but is a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
I went to Bergen, Norway once, and it was day out at midnight. It was like light out at midnight.
Ooh, yeah. Wild.
Yeah. Wow. It's like you got to...
Aren't the suicide rates really high in places like that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was in Iceland, too, and your hotel needs blackout shades.
Mm-hmm. Reykjavik?
Because people... yes.
Reykjavik.
And, but it's a small place.
It's beautiful. Did you go in the winter or the summer?
I don't remember. Oh, it was New Year's. Yeah, it was winter.
Oh, yeah. Winter's
yeah,
wild.
New Year's. Yeah. That was cool. We went to they had the big statue of that dude, whatever his name is. I don't remember his name. Is it Leif Erikson?
George Floyd. Oh,
I know. Probably Leif Erikson.
I don't remember.
I don't think it's Leif Erikson.
Bjork?
Not Bjork.
It's not Bjork. It's not
but,
Bjork.
The craziest thing was that I got recognized in Iceland at a burger shop in the middle of nowhere. Like, it really was.
It's
like,
just like a one guy.
No, so it was halfway between Reykjavik and some other location. So we're like, seriously, you go outside and you see nothing but lava rock or whatever. And there's a burger shop. And then I walk in and it's just me and a friend. And then I order a burger and then I'm sitting down eating and two guys walk in and one guy goes, oh, hey, it's Tim Pool. And I was like, what?
That's correct.
Hey, it's Tim Pool. He's like a server guy.
I was like,
whoa, Tim Pool.
And I'm like, yeah, you're speaking English. This is weird.
I like it.
I was like, this guy's following me.
I think it is Leif Erikson. Or Bardur Snafelas.
Probably
that big
guy.
Statue. I don't know. That was cool, though.
All their last names, I think, in Iceland are son or daughter.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It? Yeah, if you look in the it's like Daniel's son or, you know, Mock's daughter. It's son or daughter.
That's correct.
All right.
Correct.
Justin Chavez says, shout out to the Babylon Bees. What is a man? Oh, yeah, Babylon Bees. Nice. I watched the whole thing. All 2 minutes of the documentary and the 45 minutes of credits, LOL. Is that did they put something up?
I got to look at that.
What is a man?
It's amazing.
Bad B says, ask anyone who wants firearm control how many lives have been saved by firearms, right?
Yeah.
Jay says, hey, Beanie Band, are you looking to, into hiring video game players for new culture shows or commentary? Contract security in California isn't fulfilling and the slowly increasing homeless population wears down your empathy. We aren't currently, but it is something we plan on doing soon. We're building a new building and I'm hoping within the next 2 months it's done, but who knows? We thought it was going to be done way earlier, but the steel shortage has been a kick in the balls. I did get Starlink.
Oh,
I hear.
Nice. Yes.
Not set up yet.
Not set up yet. It's so they launched Starlink RV, which has no wait list. So and that's what we needed. We needed... Like, I wanted Starlink because I want to be able to mount it and use it wherever we need to go so we can do, you know, Porkfest is coming up. We're not going to make it. But if we want to do any shows like that for the mobile studio, we need good satellite. I don't know if Starlink can handle it, but we just got it in the mail today, so we're going to do some test runs on it. That's going to be a lot of fun. Super nice. Excited for that.
Did you see the Chinese scientists call for a plan to destroy Starlink? Destroy Elon Musk's Starlink. This is from LiveScience.com.
Crazy. Ginger McIsaac says, I just dropped several clams for Daily Wire membership to watch What is a Woman?
Yes.
Excellent watch. It legit is. And I'm so jealous.
Worth it.
I'm like, we gotta make that. We gotta make What is an Assault Weapon?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Can you hire me? I'll shave and play Ben Shapiro.
Perfect.
I'll literally get like makeup to be Ben Shapiro.
Well, we're gonna do it seriously.
Yeah, I'll be serious.
Yeah, I got that.
I'll be totally serious. I'll be so serious.
Well, then you can have your great value Daily Wire by subscribing at timcast.com. But we got to get on that. We've actually discussed doing documentary stuff before, but the thing we're lacking is managerial power. Mm. That's the biggest challenge. People who can make a machine move and run. We've got the people who can, you know, fine tune the machine or who can hammer the widgets. We need managers. That's a hard thing to find. And then the other, you know, we'll figure it out though. We're getting there. All right. What is this? Dalimar says STG-44 Sturmgewehr. I'm saying that wrong probably. World War II first assault rifle. Different than military rifles at the time. Defined as pistol grip, shorter rifle barrel, select fire, large magazine, smaller caliber cartridge than main military rifles at the time. Look up the gun. Yeah, I was reading about that. Assault rifles typically referred to the select fire capability, and modern civilian variants don't have that. They're just semi-automatic. It's one trigger pull, one bullet. Agamemnon's gym bag says, getting sick of these bigoted gun phobes trying to oppress us. All gun control is racist. I believe that it is true.
Correct, yes.
Mm. Yep.
It is true.
Jason Hunter says, Washington State already takes longer than 72 hours to do background checks. I have a CPL, and it took a month to get a gun recently.
Hmm.
That's what they're trying to do. They are eroding your ability to have guns, and they're hoping that within a generation or two, nobody has any. So they'll keep doing it. But 3D printers exist. Joe Biden wants to make 3D printed guns illegal, but that's stupid because it won't change the fact that 3D printed guns will always exist if someone wants one. Let's see. Crispy Leg says, why does everyone forget that Obama is mixed race? That's right. He's white.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
Obama's a white man.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Joe Cub says, Ian mopping with two hands had me rolling. Thanks, bud.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mopping with two hands. Ted says, as a person of color, it feels like some people of color are more people of color than other people of color to Democrats. Same as 1828 days. Guy with nine fingers says, how about this, Tim? If the FBI fails to finish your background check within 72 hours, they must cover the full cost of the firearm you're attempting to buy. Agreed. Seconded?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Thirded. Yep.
Taxpayers. Nice.
Yeah.
Free guns. Double A says, if Trump came out for a total ban on guns, Democrats would create drive-through gun shops.
There you go. There's your plan.
That guy says, raise minimum age for firearm purchases to 21 due to prolonged adolescence of current and future generations, and 21 for tobacco tattoos, sexual consent, gender therapy, and voting rights. Compromise. Yeah, it was Ann Coulter said, I'm in favor of raising the gun age to 21 if we raise the voting age to 21. Mm. And then it's like, interesting. I went to a gun shop in Virginia, and I was buying a bunch of guns. And this is crazy, too, because we live in the tri-state. So even when you buy them, they have to ship them, like drive 10 or 15 minutes and then drop them off at your gun shop, and you got to pay the fee. But some young guy came in to buy a gun, and they asked for his ID, and they're like, you can't buy handguns. You're only 20 years old or whatever. And then I was like, he's a 20-year-old legal adult who's got his own place to live, and he can't buy a handgun.
You know what I'm starting to think? We should maybe raise the military age to 21 because we have so many people in the country and we do not need that many people in the military now. I don't think sending a young 18-year-old, it makes a lot of sense mentally. Like, we wouldn't send a 16-year-old because their minds aren't developed.
That's why it makes sense.
Unless they identify as 21. Well, I don't know why you're assuming that their age is fixed.
That was implicitly what I meant. If they identify as 21, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can go to war.
All right. Villa Fear says, Tim, I can't think of a more badass backdrop than a musket and samurai sword. Please don't ever change it. I know. Originally, it was a maul sword.
Yeah.
It was just like this goofy maul sword I got for $10. But everybody was making fun of the maul sword. And then I was like, still making fun of me. So I bought an actual wakizashi,
which is
it's like it's a real one. You know, so it's cool. It's like, now no one can make fun of me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, take that, guys.
Yeah.
Can't bully me. No, I don't know. I just thought I ordered one and I was like, this kind of looks better. It's harder to fit, but whatever. All right. The B says, Vosh said he really wanted to go toe-to-toe with Matt Walsh on transgenderism. You guys want to moderate?
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
It'd be fun.
All right. There you go. Vosh, Matt Walsh, you guys want to come on the show and we'll have a conversation about transgender kids?
Dude, Matt knows what's up.
Yeah.
I'll bring a couple kids.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Live studio audience.
I mean, that would be great. I just think it's a shame that Vosh is like the only leftist who's willing to come on and mm-hmm. actually debate these ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, no, good for him. I disagree with a lot. He's said creepy things. He's been heavily criticized for. That's true. But I will say there are a few other, there's one particular other person I'm not going to name who is not welcome on the show, but everyone knows who he is. But for the most part, it's like pulling teeth to get these people to come out and actually debate these ideas.
Is it Bill Maher?
No, Bill Maher. Yeah. We'll have Bill Maher on the show.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't go on his show, though. Because I feel like one of the challenges with going on other people's shows, for Bill in particular, is that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Mm.
So I wouldn't want to be there with him moderating and not knowing. That would be like a really bad position to be in.
Mm.
So going on Joe Rogan, for instance, is always fantastic. Joe's great. And Joe reads a lot. But when I said on his show last time in November, I think it was, that most of the country is now constitutional carry, Joe said that can't be true. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it is. And then he said, Jamie, pull that up. And Jamie pulled up a generic Google search that said 13 states.
Boo.
And it's wrong.
Boo.
It's 25. I was actually mostly correct. Florida is about to pass to be the 26th state. So when I was saying that, and I went, oh, I guess I was wrong. I'll eat that one. Wow, I didn't realize.
You're close.
And, so but I'm not going to blame Joe for that. I mean, we got it wrong. Bill Maher doesn't even fact check. So being on a show with him, like you watch Dennis Prager and he's like that viral clip where he said they're putting tampons in the men's room and Bill goes, no, they're not. No, it's not.
Okay,
I would not go on a show like that. Like, dude, Bill, I think he's phoning it in. Like he doesn't know what's going on. He's only somewhat realizing what's been happening in the world. He's 10 years.
He doesn't write his
10
stuff.
Years, right.
I mean, he just reads a monologue.
Right, exactly.
He's not writing it.
And he's got a new podcast, and I'm just like, I've had people reach out and be like, would you, not from his camp, but people who are in the related areas, were like, would you want us to talk to them? We'd love to see you. And I'm like, no way, dude. First of all, I'm not going to fly out there because I got to do my show. But more importantly, I'm just like, as much as I can respect him calling out a lot of this stuff, He's phoning it in.
It's funny to watch you. Mm-hmm. He's so smarmy. It's funny to watch him against anyone who's like grounded. Okay, people. The left has gone too far.
He talks like this.
The left has gone too far.
Oh,
if the woke really want to ban speech.
They've lost their minds. It's just this real feminine twist.
His new podcast called Club Random. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm glad he's getting away from the corporate crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I think the issue is he grew up in a world where he just watched CNN and that was the basis of his reality. So he doesn't
probably,
know what he's talking
about.
Yeah, that's it.
He was wonderfully outspoken in 2000 or 2002, 2001 about the Iraq crap, and like he was really critical of George Bush's handling of that.
He's starting to crack though now. I think something is getting to him.
The
he's
light
slowly starting to crack.
Yeah, I can see the light bursting out of him.
All right, Leet Zors says, funny how Ian starts mouthing off about the Catholic Church the night Seamus is gone.
I would do it every night.
No, he
Catholic
he,
cast.
Anybody who consistently watches the show knows that Ian says it right to
and
Seamus.
It's definitely the organization.
Like, dude.
The organization of the church is where I have the issue. I love God and the idea of God and the consciousness and all that, and that's where me and Seamus really get along.
All right, let's see. Schneider Strong says, millennials don't have the same number of children and family as the boomer generation did. Could this help explain why the younger population would be okay with political assassinations? Yes. Very good point, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Older people are averse to violence because, what's that one movie, with Mel Gibson and it's like the revolution?
The Patriot.
That I reference all the time.
Right. You like that movie, right?
I love that movie.
It's good.
When Mel Gibson says, he says something like, mark my words, your children will learn of this war. This war will not be fought on a distant, faraway battlefield. It will be fought in front of our homes. Your children will learn about their own eyes.
Correct.
And then he says something like, sir, I have 7 children. I don't have the luxury of, you know, what, bravery or something like that.
And then said something about Jews or something. Was that a different movie?
That's a different movie. No, this one was actually good. The Patriot, man. Amazing movie. I love how they make the British people just like the most detestable, evil people.
They got so mad about that.
Who's the guy who plays the evil dude?
I think his name is Jason. I don't remember.
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, he was amazing.
Woo.
And I love how just he's like very one-dimensional. He's like, I'm going to shoot a child. And it's like, why would you do that?
So smart.
It's like Douglas Murray. It's just like Douglas Murray.
Evil Douglas Murray.
I love Douglas Murray.
Yes.
But it was cool, though. The Patriot's like a revolution film, freedom and revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So watching Mel Gibson, you know, win in the end, it is great. And then watching the regulars lose and being like, America! Yeah!
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
4th of July is coming up.
That's right.
And that's MAGA month. Woo! July is officially MAGA month. And you, we barbecue every weekend.
That's right.
MAGA month?
MAGA month is July,
Did
yeah.
Did you not know that?
Title? No.
Yeah.
Everyone, I thought it was Ultra MAGA month.
Oh, yeah. That's
for sure. Yeah. Well, no, we were talking the other day about Pride month, and then we were like, when's MAGA month? And then I think Lydia said July.
Yeah, of course.
4th of July. So the idea is for the entire month, it's just you barbecue.
That's right.
You know?
Woo.
Love
that's
it.
That's what it's all about.
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. MAGA month.
That
I don't know.
That's what it's all about.
We're just going to grill burgers.
Yes.
That's right. MAGA month.
Make July great again, they say, sure.
That's it.
Make July great again. Bad B says, equity is racist if you don't understand how think about it till you get it.
Hmm.
Was that meant to be grammatically incorrect?
Not sure.
David C. Cronk Sr. says, Ian seems to be stuck on this Roman slavery point without acknowledging the fact that the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews thousands of years earlier.
Hmm. Yes, slavery is not endemic to the Romans, but the Roman Empire is definitely endemic to our way of life right now, and we need to shatter that.
It's always been. The crazy thing was that, like, you could be not a slave, and then one day you could be a slave. Yeah. Like, you're living in a village or whatever, and you're, like, working, and you're dealing with slavers, and then one day they just grab you, and, like, you're a slave now. And you're like, oh, no. Like, what do I do? Like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That culture was brutal.
Oh, Snapple Facts says, Tim, politics are one thing, but I need the real question answered. Sheets or Wawa? Oh, Wawa.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
I'm unfamiliar. I do like Sheets, though.
Mm.
That was groundbreaking. So Wawa also lets you pre-order the sub sandwich, and then they make it
awesome.
On demand?
Yeah.
Is that similar to Sheets like that?
Yeah. Wawa's better. But we mostly have Sheets out here.
Yeah.
Sheets.
Yeah. Never seen a gas station.
Never seen a Sheets.
It's awesome.
But they have like sandwiches and stuff, right?
Yeah. They were the first place I ever saw they had that like kiosk ordering system at a gas station.
There's a place in Virginia I remember that did fried chicken and gas. It was a gas station. I mean, a lot of gas stations actually have fried chicken if you think about it when you're traveling around the country, but they like their whole marketing was like fried chicken and gasoline or something like that.
Huh.
So like while you're pumping, you walk in and they just drop in the deep fryer. That was awesome.
Damn.
I know. Like, I will take some drumsticks.
Now, today, that would be a $300 visit.
I know, right?
Yeah, seriously. Chicken and gas?
We're eating for the month. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeffrey Pfaff says, Jordan Peterson is crying in joy right now, Tyler.
Ooh, yeah, that's awesome.
Let's hope so.
It's like, there's no evidence of that.
That's technically correct.
Christopher Scamra says, love the impressions, Tyler. I've been trying to follow up with Lydia over email regarding a film pitch with Daily Wire and Dallas that almost got greenlit. Tim, before looking to potentially make a project in association with them, we should talk. Maybe. We are doing a ton of infrastructure stuff right now.
Yeah,
and just
a lot going on.
We're building a building, and we're working on the website. And I'm just like, you know, I wake up, and I'm like, how do we make this stuff go faster? The problem is just people. People. You got to find people who know how to build stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'll do the film, though. DM me. I'll do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you ready to do another one?
I'm writing a movie now.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the next thing. Yeah.
Sam Axe says, you dare to speak ill of the Wars of Stars. How dare you? How dare you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Star Wars jumped the shark a lot.
Oh, yeah. Episode 1 was the terrible. When it
The prequels were like, eh.
Yeah. The movie wasn't, yeah, that was the problem. The movies were stellar. They were so good. 4, 5, and 6. Return of the Jedi, Jabba the Hutt, Luke Skywalker. Like, the Force is real. And then they made Jar Jar Binks. And they had Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor, and they still screwed that movie up. They had Natalie Portman, and the movie was terrible because they had a cartoon character as the lead, and they had no villain. They had Darth Maul. We had no lines. Got slaughtered. Right. And you're like, what? There was no villain. The entire series.
Yep. Yeah, but the prequels, I'm kind of just like, you know, like, I'll watch them.
Yeah. I went to the theater
when
it was the first one.
I was like, off. The worst, The Last Jedi is probably the worst film I have ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding. I wanted to walk out of the theater. It was so bad. And I was like, the only reason I didn't was because, like, I should finish it so I know what happens.
Yeah.
And then you know what it turns out? So here's the thing about Star Wars. They said that originally with the prequels, they were like, Star Wars is actually a series about Darth Vader.
Oh.
It starts with Darth Vader. And even throughout the prequels, it's about Anakin Skywalker. It was a Darth Vader story. And it ends with his death and all that. And I was like, wow. Do you know what it is now following the sequel films? The entirety of Star Wars is the story of Palpatine's gender transition.
Stop.
That's all it is.
Sign me up. Is this the one on? Have you guys seen the Disney one? The one that Gina was fired from?
Oh, Mandalorian.
No. Oh, that's Mandalorian.
Well, I saw a little bit of that.
I've never seen it.
It was good.
It was good.
So listen. They said the story started with Darth Vader, right?
Okay.
Let's think about where it ended right now. It ends with the Emperor becoming a young woman. So now it starts with Palpatine as a senator trying to take over the government and then ends with him trying to take over the body of a young woman.
Psych.
And here's the thing, right? This is true. This is canon. Spoiler alert. In the end, they find out the Emperor is actually alive. And he's like, you must strike me down so that I will take over your body or something. I'm not for real. Like, and then she's like, no, I won't do it. But then she does it. So like, then she calls herself Skywalker or whatever. But I'm like, yo, the Emperor.
They Walker? You mean they, them Walker?
Yeah.
But, Imperial propaganda.
So when the idea was like, he was going to live forever by taking her body, if she struck him down in rage, but then she strikes him down anyway, I'm like, so he won?
But did she strike him down in rage?
But
or was it out of love?
I think even the trans community would agree that that's what it's about.
Mm. You have a good
point. The Emperor took over the galaxy because he just wanted the right body.
Oh. Some trans.
Isn't Bill Burr in the Mandalorian?
Yes.
Yep. Man.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre.
I was watching it. It was okay till there was a scene where, you know, the guy that played Apollo Creed was in it. He was like his like handler or something to give him these missions. And then there's a scene where he's supposed to be giving him this real secret mission. And he's like, okay, your mission is, he's yelling it out to
Bill
everyone
Burr
in the bar. No, it's the guy that played Apollo Creed in the Rocky movies. Okay. I don't know what his name is. And it was just like, well, who's directing this movie? I mean, the guy is trying to be secretive and he's yelling at everyone in the bar about the secret. It's,
how do you have Bill Burr in it in Cancel Gina? Bill says the craziest. Is he just yelling at
you
people?
You sound like Bill. Are you doing a Bill Burr impression?
Now look at this bitch, right? She's brutal, right? Leah's just bitching all the time. She's just yapping.
Yeah, it sounds just like such a pleasant.
All right, let's read some more. We got John Ari says, make a flag for Chicken City. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We will.
Don't chicken on me.
Nate says, did anyone who watched What Is a Woman notice that the girl who swam with Leah Thomas, who was anonymous, you could clearly make out her face in the close-up camera just making sure I'm not crazy. Oh,
no,
totally.
Not crazy.
I mean, I just got to say, like, if you send me a video of someone and their voice is altered, I can easily correct that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. In, like, 10 seconds. Yeah. It's really easy to do. Because usually what they'll do is they'll just pitch shift it.
Right, right.
That worked back when the average person didn't have pitch shifting software on their computers.
Now they do.
I have pitch unshift.
Now you can just go, like, there you go. But, I mean, the other thing, too, is, like, cadence and word choices.
Yeah.
You know who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you're anonymous. It's like, bro, I go to school with you. I know that's you. Yeah, it's like, come on. You know, that's not going to work, huh? All right, we'll grab a couple more. Mimatype says, video idea, start with the rainbow flag, zoom out and add the trans flag add the trans flag, keep zooming out, adding flags, eventually it zooms out to show a person's face, like they're rediscovering individuality.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, what's going to happen.
Rebel Parish says, I'm 4'10", and the guy just needs to be taller than me. I went on a date Sunday with a guy who was literally the size of my 11-year-old niece. Same muscle mass.
Wow.
Look, I didn't do yoga that week, and I was just slouching, okay? I'm sorry.
Give me a break.
I'm sorry. I'm having a rough week here.
Christopher McCatton says, regarding the polls about dem young men and assassination versus threats, the left thinks that word violence is worse than actual violence, maybe. They see the threat as an escalation from physical violence. No, they just don't want to warn you. Mm. Like, don't threaten them. Just do it.
Just do it.
Dem That's young men. That sounds like a gang.
Yeah.
Like Dem it. Young men.
Dem young men.
Captain Kirk. Oh, wait. We just jumped on us.
No. Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk, you disappeared. Super Chat is gone.
Speak to me, Kirk.
All right. Brody Nevis says, I was just told that Alameda County in California is going to have a mask mandate again. This is stupid.
That's
really?
So great.
Wow.
Sounds about right.
Eden Hiddick says, the anti-gun lobby has a history of intentionally mislabeling firearms and even attempted to label handguns as pocket rockets, other terms.
That's so cool.
Labeling every auto weapon a machine gun is another.
Amazing.
Yep. Here we go. Captain Kirk says, Tim, I hope people realize we can't vote Democrat anymore. We have to vote Republican, but Democrats aren't the... we don't have to vote Republican, but Democrats aren't the way, and their party knows it. I mean, Libertarian Party.
Yeah, Dave Smith. Actually, the Mises Caucus just swept the Libertarian Party. Michael Malice just had the chairman of the Libertarian Party on Welcome on
Angela.
The show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very promising. Those guys are really smart.
If you were actually at the Libertarian National Convention like I was, you wouldn't feel it was as promising.
Oh, really? What was it like?
It was crazy. It was crazy. Man. I mean, I'm happy that the Mises Caucus took over, but when the whole body of 1,000 delegates couldn't decide on when to go to lunch, I lost all hope.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like half and half.
Not authoritarian enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was tough. Get a bunch of libertarians in a room, it's tough to make a decision.
Yeah.
Well, just tell everybody to take care of themselves.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
When's lunch? Go and eat when you feel like eating. I don't care.
That would be the libertarian point of view, theoretically speaking, but in action, that did not play out that way. Yeah, it was crazy.
Stephen L. says, it's my birthday. Happy birthday, Stephen.
Stephen.
Joseph Henson says, funny thing in retrospect is that when you add up the issues we're facing, who's causing the most noise and the ideologies involved, turns out that legalizing prostitution when Australia did would have saved the world.
Hmm.
Why? I don't get it. What am I missing?
I don't understand.
Yeah, that alluded me too. I'm not sure.
Prostitution.
That's all I heard.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mad Make says, make a participation flag for the Salty Army, please. Well, I couldn't make the flag. They'd have to make the flag, right? I don't want to make a flag for somebody else. I would misrepresent, you know
Cultural
what I mean?
Appropriation, man.
But I'll tell you what you can do. You can smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends if you do like it, and head over to timcast.com. Become a member right now if you haven't already. We're going to have a members-only show coming up at 11 p.m. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. You can follow the show at TimcastIRL. Follow us on Instagram. We have clips every day. You can follow me at Timcast basically everywhere. Tyler, do you want to shout anything out?
Sure. Ty the Fish. I'm shadow banned everywhere, so I got to spell it out. You got to write the whole thing. T-Y the Fish. F-I-S-C-H. And TylerFisher.com. I'll be touring the country doing stand-up soon, so you can sign my email list. And YouTube, Tyler Fisher.
Nice. Head over to TimCast.com and check out the Read little in the left-hand side. Check out the Read. You're going to find some awesome journalism there.
Right on.
You can follow me at IanCrossland.net, and you can get in touch with me through social there. And I wanted to shout out Terror on the Prairie, which is
going to be coming out. Gina Carano, Nick Searcy, Cowboy Cerrone on June 14th on the Daily Wire. We're going to do like a Q&A on the premiere night.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, man. Good to see you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Here's my moment of truth. I tweaked my camera a little bit without looking at it. There we go. I'm still here, still in the corner. Thank you guys very much for tuning in this evening with Tyler. I had a blast. I'm really looking forward to the bonus show. You guys may find me on Twitter and Minds.com at SourPatchlets as well as SourPatchlets.me.
We will see you all over at TimCast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.